It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, that certainly was something, wasn't it? Definitely something. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. There at HeadOn.live, there's a chat room tab. If you click on that, you will be immediately offered the opportunity to pick out a screen name and a password, at which point you can jump in and be part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you do so, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Jimmy from the Great Northwest and Squeaky, and more to follow presently. And you'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, uses his powers sparingly on rainy, cold days and has chosen not to fold space today in Northern California. You'll also be moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is the 25th day of March, 2019, and I guess we all know what we're going to be spending our time on this evening, or at least the filibobster, or the best part of it. Yeah, sure. But before we do any of that, we've got thanks to send out. Thanks to our subscribers. Thank you to Kay. Thank you so very kindly, Kay. Thanks as well to James in Spain. And thanks to a brand new subscriber, Mark. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very, very kindly indeed for joining the merry little band that helps to knock out about a week's worth of fundraising every month. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Mark as well for knocking down half of this evening's fundraising goal. Now, let's deal with that real quick. Ordinarily, the last week of the month is Fundraising Free Radio. I look forward to it. Maybe more than y'all do, just to have a chance to get a break from having to talk about keeping the program on the air. But, again, program note, I'm going to be gone from April the 1st through, like, the 10th or the 11th, depending on how things shake out. I'm gone to D.C. We've got big stuff going on in D.C. relative to mountaintop removal and to the Appalachian Community's Health Emergency Campaign, of which you have been a part. If you've ever reached out to a member of the House or a senator asking for the AIC Act to be either introduced or co-sponsored in the House or the Senate, then you're part of the AIC campaign too. It is a grassroots effort. There's not a bunch of big green money behind it. This is a few determined hillbillies and their allies taking the fight to D.C. So I'm going to be gone, and that means, now, bear in mind, I'm going to try to be on the air when I can, but I don't know which days those are going to be. I know I won't be on the air every night, simply because we're going to be driving back, you know, from D.C. into, I think we're staying in Arlington, Airbnb or something. And as a consequence, one never knows what traffic's going to be like toward the end of the day, although there's no such thing as good traffic at the end of the day in D.C. So we'll be, you know, we'll be talking more about that. But there are more thanks to send out. Thank you to Samson, and thank you to Pam in Washington. Thank you to Josh. Thank you, Josh, very kindly for being a partial sponsor of the program. And thanks to James for being a partial sponsor of the program. That was Sunday. And then on Saturday, our subscribers are Stacy and our buddy Philip of long standing in Maryland and Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you. Thank you one and all, again, for being partial sponsors of the programs. Yeah, Sparky, you're right. Sparky says, I'm not wasting my time on my dumbass Republican Congress critter. I get that. I believe you me. I do. But anyway, I'm going to try to broadcast when I can, but we know that we're going to dig ourselves a hole by me not being here in the first week of April. With that in mind, I had a note from Chris in Germany who said, you know, Bob, you're going to be in a hole. Yeah. And so Chris wanted to make sure, you might recall that Chris helped us knock down last week's, little Friday on the front porch, community made mini miracle. And so Chris is stepping up again. So Chris, we've got $100 to raise this evening because Mark knocked down half of today. So as it stands, there's a challenge on the table of $100 from Chris, so that we'll actually, if Chris's challenge is met, we will have done today and then some, which, considering 8 days away from the microphone, is huge. So we'll try to we'll fundraise this week. My apologies, but hey, while I'm gone, there won't be any fundraising. So so there's a $100 challenge on the table and $100 to raise. So that's a chance to double your money. 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, river of beer flowing over your grandmother's paisley shawl, a home in the country. But Chris is matching dollar for dollar up to the first $100 this evening. So thank you, Chris, and hopefully folks will jump in on that, and we'll take care of what needs taken care of. Now, and of course, the PayPal button is over at headon.live. And again, it's best if we can get all this stuff taken care of, and I'll get bills paid and buy groceries before I leave, so that, you know, it won't be like Lord of the Flies around here while I'm gone. Well, when last we met, we were speculating wildly about the contents of the Mueller report, because at about, 4 or 5 o'clock on Friday, in a traditional Friday news dump, Robert Mueller delivered his report to William Barr at the Attorney General's Office of the United States. And we guessed and we speculated. And, well, as of yesterday, we got a hint of what's in it. And that is a whole lot of nothing. Yeah, I know. I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine, sure. But while we did spend a great deal of time talking about what Mueller might or might not do, you might recall that along the way, every now and then, I would say something like, now, let's remember, folks, he's a Republican. And Rod Rosenstein is a Republican. And let me take you back to those gone halcyon days of the Reagan years, when there was something out there called Reagan's 11th commandment. Sounds kind of sacred, doesn't it? I mean, there's 1 through 10, and then there's and then old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, added an 11th. Yeah. The 11th commandment, according to Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, was, "Thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican." Remember that? Sure. And the 11th commandment served the GOP well. And it goes hand in hand with that old adage we cite so often here, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. And that phrase will serve under almost any circumstance. What? You traded arms for hostages with the Iranians and used the money to support a band of right-wing death squads in Nicaragua? What? Well, that sounds like it might be a crime. Wait. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. Sure. What? You started a war based on a pathetic tissue paper thin ingathering of lies and mendacity, and you got a million Iraqi civilian non-combatants, men, women, and children killed deader than Pharaoh's cat? Oh, my God, you probably ought to be standing in the dock at The Hague facing war crimes charges and crimes against humanity. Ah, wait. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. No, Dick Cheney, we're not going to send you to prison. We're going to get you somebody's heart so that you can live into your hundreds. And thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. I don't care how honorable Robert Mueller was in Vietnam. He is, and always will be a Republican. And if he's some sort of master investigator, damn, we're in bigger trouble than we thought. Because what we found out, and again, understand, we still haven't seen the report, but according to Bill Barr, who is a nasty old piece of work, that Iran-Contra stuff I was mentioning a minute ago? Yeah. Bill Barr's the guy who helped George H.W. Bush bury the bodies. So that nobody would drop the dime on Poppy. So that Poppy wouldn't have to go to prison. Because if people had told the real truth about what George H.W. Bush knew about Iran-Contra, well, they might have had to appoint another special prosecutor to whitewash that. That's the... Oh, hey, the duck just came down. I'll be damned. Quack! Yep, I said the secret word. I won the prize. The secret... The password is whitewash. Because that's what this is. And we'll take a deeper look. But it's hard to see anything coming out of this. I mean, there are a couple of little tells along the way, but Mueller's done. I mean, sure, there's still Roger Stone to prosecute out there, but this the wet, sloppy, cheap perfume infused love letter that Bill Barr wrote, hell, Julius Geezer might be feeling emboldened to just go ahead and pardon Manafort and pardon Roger Stone. Pardon the goddamn lot of them. Hell, pardon the Russians that Mueller at least indicted with no hope of ever prosecuting. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just, you know, the front end of it. But there was interesting language in Barr's letter. The Republicans are ignoring anything that could even remotely be interpreted as having some sort of negative comment on the Trump regime. But I think probably the best thing is to take a look at the letter. In the meantime, the Democrats, particularly in the House, because they've got a little bit of power there, are calling for the report to be made public. House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler tweeted, "Special Counsel Mueller clearly and explicitly is not exonerating the president, and we must hear from A.G. Barr about his decision-making and see all the underlying evidence for the American people to know all the facts. There must be full transparency in what Special Counsel Mueller uncovered to not exonerate the president from wrongdoing. DOJ owes the public more than just a brief synopsis and decision not to go any further in their work." Lindsey Graham, however, over in the Senate, and he's the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Lindsey Graham was fairly, I don't think I've seen him this happy since he got his invitation to the barbecue at 12 Oaks. He breathlessly gushed, "The cloud hanging over President Trump has been removed by this here report." Jethreen Bodine, the press secretary, said that, it is a total exoneration. And guess what? Barr can tell the House of Representatives and every Democrat from Augusta, Maine to San Diego, California, and all points in between to go up a rope, because nobody can make him do squat. Yeah. Elizabeth Warren wasted no time. Congress voted 420 to nothing to release the full Mueller report, not a summary from his handpicked Attorney General A.G. Barr. A.G. Barr, make the full report public immediately. Connecticut's Chris Murphy said, "Maybe Barr's interpretation is right. Maybe it's not. But why the heck would we be okay with an ally of the president, appointed because of his hostility to the Mueller investigation, tell us what the report says? Give Congress the report. Give the public the report. Now." Hawaii's junior senator, Brian Schatz, said, "I suppose I could construct a more clever way to say this, but just give us the document." Do we deserve the document? Did we pay for that? Did we pay for the? Yes, we did. So, we'll see. Although my money is on Barr telling the Democrats to go pound sand. Let's take a look at the letter itself, piece by piece. Dear Chair, now understand this. This is directed to Lindsey Graham, Gerald Nadler, Dianne Feinstein, and Doug Collins. In the case of Graham and Feinstein, the chair and the ranking minority member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. In the case of Nadler and Collins, the chair and ranking minority member of the House Judiciary Committee. Four people, right? Yeah, it was addressed to four people, but it was written for one person and one person only. God, how sad to spend your life in government only to have a significant portion of the country, as I do, and with regard to Bill Barr, yeah, when his end comes and they put his name on a stone and born this date, died this date, the only thing that needs to follow after that is one word: lickspittle. Maybe bootlick. Dear Chairman Graham, Chairman Nadler, Ranking Member Feinstein, and Ranking Member Collins, as a supplement to the notification provided on Friday, March 22, 2019, I'm writing today to advise you of the principal conclusions reached by Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III and to inform you about the status of my initial review of the report he has prepared. So what he says there is he's only initially reviewed it. He doesn't even necessarily have a fully functioning grasp of what's in it. But he's going to get something out there because he owes political capital to the guy who gave him his job and apparently gave his kid a job inside the White House. No conflict there. Steve in New York saying, I see Miss Lindsay has sent out her invitations for her celebratory cotillion at Smoldering Chode. Nice graphic work, Steve. Nice. I'm not. Okay. Scott in San Diego says, surely you've heard of rhyming slang, Bob. Well, I haven't, and don't call me Shirley. It kind of fits where things are now, Scott says. Rhyming slang, a type of slang that replaces words with rhyming words or phrases, typically with the rhyming element omitted. For example, butchers, short for butcher's hook, means look in Cockney rhyming slang. Babbling brook equals crook. Apples and pears equals stairs. William Barr, not as far, as in I don't trust this slimy bastard as far as I can throw him. You are wise in that regard, Scott. Oh, good news. Thank you to Catherine. Catherine jumped in. We've only got $50 to go on Chris's challenge. That's awesome. And hopefully the other 50 will roll in short order and we'll have a fundraising free rest of the program. Thank you, Catherine. Back to the, nobody's done as good a job at whitewashing since Tom Sawyer gave up the trade. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a, and it's in quotes, confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions, unquote, he has reached. One would think that would be, there would be some capitalization going on there, but nobody's seen the reports. He has reached, as required by 28 CFR section 608 paren C close paren. Now he gives us the title. This report is entitled Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election. Although my review is ongoing, it's sitting on the reading stand in my bathroom, I'll get to it. I believe that it is in the public interest to describe the report. You know, it's an 8.5 by 11 paper. The paper's white, it's got black ink on it, it's about yay thick. And to summarize the principal conclusions reached by the special counsel and the results of his investigation. Okay. The report explains that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations, and we don't know if there's anything about thorough in the report. That seems to be an editorial comment from the Attorney General. I don't know, maybe they whispered about it a little bit when they were going to church together. Remember, they go to church together. Mrs. Barr and Mrs. Mueller are right there in the pew every Sunday, and if there's anybody sitting in their seats, by God, they get out and go out in a huff, or a huff and a half. That's a little joke, because actually my grandmother and my great aunt, they had these particular seats in the Baptist church, and if they walked in there and there was somebody in them, they'd just turn around and march right back out and go to work on Sunday dinner. The nerve. So, apparently, Bill Whitewash Barr thinks that the investigation was thorough, which leads me to think that he doesn't have a really good working definition of thorough, because I don't know how an investigation can be thorough when he didn't even interview one of the people who would, well, he didn't interview the person who most benefited from whatever Russian skullduggery took place. You know, the chlamydia Claudius. Donald J. Trump. Nope. So it wasn't thorough in regard to interviewing that guy. Thoroughness went begging, too, insofar as Don Jr., the guy who actually met with a Russian agent and was informed about the hacking of the DNC emails, you know, after his dad had said, "Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can get the rest of her emails." Not him neither. Eric wasn't interviewed. Darling Iwanka wasn't interviewed. She was so busy, you understand, because she's a working mom. Yeah, a lot of people weren't interviewed. Now, granted, as I pointed out, Republicans moved heaven and earth to make sure that they got to, by God, depose Bill Clinton in a civil suit. It wasn't even a criminal matter. It was a civil suit. And they changed the constitutional law of the United States to make sure that they got to depose him. And Brett Kavanaugh, then working for Ken Starr, said, "We need to ask him all the dirty questions." We should probably use the word penis a lot. But no. Mueller, I'll send you some questions, and you can get your little crayon out, and you can write your answers down on one of those Big Chief tablets with the broad lines on it. Yeah, do that. I mean, why would I want to put the president under oath? So, thorough seems to be a fluid term within the purview of this here letter. Thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the presidential campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations, period. So that creates a two-pronged analysis. One is the degree to which people did or didn't conspire with the Russians, and then were there any attempts to obstruct justice in the aftermath, you know, like threatening witnesses, which, you know, Donald Trump did. Ah, okay, correction there. It wasn't Barr's boy, it was Barr's son-in-law. I'm sure he calls him Dad. Darlene in Connecticut with the correction. Barr's son-in-law got the job advising Trump on legal issues. Tyler McGowey, no idea. Will intersect with the Russia investigation, according to Vanity Fair, back on February 14th. No conflict there. Steve in New York says, here's what we need, a modern-day Woodward and Bernstein and Deep Throat. Well, there were a fair number of leakers, but the funny thing is, it didn't seem to make any difference. And so, even as the government of the United States knew that the Russians were monkeying around with our election in information warfare terms, and knowing that, people like Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions III met with Sergei Kislyak of Mother Russia, foreign minister to States of United, at the Republican National Convention. Mueller's not interested in that. And then when in his confirmation hearings, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions III was asked directly if he'd had any set tos or get-togethers, or maybe they went down to the salon and got their hairs did with any Russian official. Well, no, I certainly didn't. And then he got busted for stone-cold lying to the Senate of the United States. But, well, Mueller wasn't interested in that either. He was lying under oath, by the way. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigation, this is some serious boilerplate. Boilerplate is language that doesn't mean much, but it contributes to the word count. Why, he employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professional staff. Well, by golly, it must be a serious investigation. Can't possibly be a whitewash. Except it was. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, none of them to Trump. Executed nearly 500 search warrants, none of them on Trump. Obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, none of them on Trump. Issued almost 50 orders authorizing the use of pen registers, none of them on Trump. Made 13 requests to foreign governments for evidence. And interviewed approximately 500 witnesses, none of them Trump, none of them Trump's family. The special counsel obtained a number of indictments, definitely a number, and convictions of individuals and entities in connection with his investigation, all of which have been publicly disclosed. Yeah, small fry, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, a bunch of Russians who will never be tried. During the course of his investigation, the special counsel also referred several matters to other offices for further action. Now, as I read the letter for the first time, that was the first time that my pink little ears perked up. Several matters to other offices. Because obviously the one we know about is the Southern District of New York. More on that later. But based on my understanding of the art of word knowing, one U.S. attorney's office does not constitute a several. And if it was the SDNY and the Eastern District of Virginia, that's two. That's not a several either. That's a couple. That's a pair, otherwise known as two. A several is at least three or more. So that means that there's references out there that may or may not still be banging around. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have yet to be made public, you silly, silly, silly justice-seeking Democrats. No, there's not a secret sealed indictment of Donald Trump out there. No, there's no, sorry. Below, I summarize the principal conclusions set out in the special counsel's report. I summarize. Yeah, sure you do. The special counsel's report is divided into two parts. Well, the whole of Gaul is divided into three. Thank you, Julius Caesar Barr. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to, and this is important, this has some importance, the report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. Well then, at the very least, if we're shopping in the cold comfort department, we can find some in the idea that apparently at least Mueller and possibly vaguely Bill Whitewash Barr feels confident that yes, in fact, contrary to the shouts and the howls and the screeches and the barks and the bleats of people on both far left and over in Maggotville, yes, the Russians did it. They did monkey with the 2016 election. They screwed with it. They fucked with it. And apparently, the report has some details of how that was accomplished. Interestingly, since there are no further indictments to be had, the companies that accepted payment in rubles to run that sketchy crap, well, Mueller's giving them a pass, too. There are more hall passes given out in this thing. If a teacher did it, the bathroom would have a line out the door. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. Barr does acknowledge that there are federal criminal laws, but without saying so, we have to remember they could never possibly be committed by Republicans because IOKIYAR. But nonetheless, none of them did. I mean, granted, Don Jr. was associated with the Trump campaign, and Don Jr. took a meeting with a Russian agent to talk about getting dirt on Hillary Clinton, but No. That doesn't constitute joining a Russian conspiracy. Shucks, no. That'd be a federal crime. And it's impossible for a Republican to commit a federal crime. The special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Are you nauseated yet? Because I am. As the report states, this is a quote from the report. Ooh, pay attention. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. It didn't, huh? Bust my buttons. So that business about Russia, if you're listening, I hope you get the rest of Hillary's emails. Nah. Donald Trump is a big kidder. I mean, everybody knows what a great sense of humor he has. I mean, he's all the time hot-footing members of the cabinet and tying their shoelaces together and saran-wrapping their toilet seats and putting buckets of paint over the door with the door cracked open. Ah, he's just a laugh a minute, Donald Trump, even though nobody's ever seen him fucking laugh. Darlene writes, want to know what the was all about in the four-pager? Bar with the report language. Also, I think that the 500 witnesses interviewed number is exactly the same number of witnesses Mueller interviewed in the NFL case he handled while at Wilmer Hale. How can that be? Really? 500 witnesses! Yeah. The special counsel's investigation determined that there were two main Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election. The first involved attempts by a Russian organization, the Internet Research Agency, the IRA, which during the entire course of this investigation, because I'm of a certain age, I had to stop for a minute and say, oh, Internet Research Agency, not Irish Republican Army. Sorry. To conduct disinformation and social media operations in the United States designed to sow social discord, eventually with the aim of interfering with the election. So did they come up with the aim after they started screwing around with social media? What does that even mean? That gets a big red line drawn under it and sent back with 10 points off. As noted above, the special counsel did not find that any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA in its efforts. Huh, that's an interesting adverb there in front of coordinated, knowingly. So maybe Don Jr. did coordinate, but he did so stupidly?
It's not illegal to be stupid in America. Especially if you're a Trump.
From Ron and Raleigh, subject line, wait a damn minute. Am I supposed to believe that with all the people around him going down Dolt 45 is left standing unscathed, no charges for Javanka, Don Jr., and the other dim-witted fruit of Donnie's loins? Well, I guess the grift goes on. Only Republicans can investigate Republicans, oddly enough, only Republicans can investigate Democrats. The idea that I'm going to have to listen to this braying jackass for the next 2 years going on about his innocence is almost too much to bear. I know the feeling. That was the first thing that sort of hit me was, oh, shit, he's going to be unbearable. The other thing is, he's got the bit in his teeth now. On top of everything else, Ron writes, Miss Lindsay has said he's going to open a Senate investigation, wait for it, of Hillary's emails. Son of a bitch! One investigation of Trump. It's all clear, yet multiple investigations of Hillary's not enough to clear her of some imaginary crime. Dear Lord, two more years. Excuse me, I'm going out to run rabbits and eat a little dirt. Get a handful of me, a handful for me, Ron. I'm stuck here behind the microphone. Get the good stuff. I know. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, Gotti should have used the I was only joking defense. Irish Dave with a note. Do you mean Bill, pardon me, Barr knows thorough? Let's review. Even Barr reports Russian interference. So the question is, did the Don know? If he knew and did nothing to stop, or at least expose it, isn't he responsible and subject to impeachment and removal? Or if he didn't know, he's irresponsible and would therefore be subject to disqualification under the 25th Amendment? Just saying. Oh, I know, but there's a firewall in the Senate. We've discussed that. Yeah, back to the letter. Because I think parsing it does make a little bit, does make some sense. As noted above, the special counsel did not find that any knowingly coordinated with the IRA in its efforts, although the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals and entities in connection with these activities to make it look like he was actually doing something. The second element involved the Russian government's efforts to conduct computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence the election. Hacking operations. Wonder who they hacked. The special counsel found that Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign and Democratic Party organizations and publicly disseminated those materials through various intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. If you were reading this letter, you'd swear that they didn't also hack into the RNC. But they did. They just didn't give them to WikiLeaks because they were probably much more valuable on the down low. Based on these activities, the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian military officers for conspiring to hack into computers in the United States for purposes of influencing the election and making it look like Mueller was actually fucking doing something instead of whitewashing for the president. Because Republicans don't rat out other Republicans. You know, if that doesn't sit well with you, I mean, oh, come on, Bob. Bullshit. Politics is part of this. And yes, they play politics. This goes back, this is reminiscent of the fiction that we were supposed to adopt back when Nixon quit the joint and Gerald Ford just happened to wake up one morning and say, I need to pardon Richard Nixon. Our long national nightmare needs to end. And boom, done. And if you believe that, well, I got a nice bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. And you know what? We will move it to anywhere you want to set it up. Stand by. Okay, sorry about that. Person from Porlock. No, it's not like Nixon and Ford ever, you know, talked about that beforehand. I mean, it was entirely Ford's idea.
Now, Jerry, just because I'm going to make you my vice president doesn't mean I expect any favors from you. What? No, 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 I'm just having a little spasm in my left eye that causes it to wink like that. Yeah.
So no mention of the RNC emails being hacked, even though they were.
Based on these activities, the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian militaries conspiring to hack into the U.S., influencing the election, none of whom will ever be charged. And for the most part, well, at least it made him look like he was doing something. But as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign.
Where's the next paragraph about what the members of the Trump campaign did, as noted, when that offer was made, where they ran, not walked or crawled, but ran to the Department of Justice? Oh, my goodness. The Russians are trying to help our campaign. Goodness me, we don't want that.
Well, you can't reference something that never happened.
And there's a footnote along the way, also. In assessing potential conspiracy charges, the special counsel also considered whether members of the Trump campaign coordinated, and that's in quotes, with Russian election interference activities. Why do we have activities after interference? And maybe it's just a style thing. No, it's not.
The special counsel defined coordination as an agreement, tacit or express, between the Trump campaign and the Russian government on election interference. Well, how nice that Bob Mueller was out there just writing his own fucking definitions.
Because, see, if you were going to write it some other way, like you'd say the special counsel used U.S. Code section which says and there's a quote there. But no, according to Whitewash Barr, Bob Mueller just kind of made up his own definition. And you know the cool thing about using your own definitions? That means you can decide what is and isn't a crime.
As Hung Like Jesus points out, Russia now has the green light to overtly run roughshod over this country. And I am sick. Yeah, I know.
Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, which begs the question, is the Russian iteration of the IRA in the running for the most ironically named insurgent agency? Conspiring minds want to know.
Is nothing. It only means individual retirement account. You understand.
Flavio with a note, what Mueller did not investigate. Mueller did not investigate Trump's dealings with the Russians before the electoral campaign. Money laundering, shell companies, business dealings, etc. Mueller did not investigate Trump's dealings with the Russians after the election. Mueller did not investigate Trump's finances, something that David K. Johnston could have helped with, since Johnston's been investigating this since the 1980s.
What are you trying to do, Flavio? Find evidence or something? That's not what you do when you're on a whitewash.
Whitewash is to cover over, to make it appear pure and unsullied. Go around looking for fucking evidence. The next thing you know, somebody might get charged with a crime.
Now we move into the obstruction of justice part, and this is where it gets fun.
The report's second part addresses a number of actions by the president, most of which have been the subject of public reporting that the special counsel investigated as potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. After making a thorough factual... Now, hold on. There's kind of a leap that's taken place here, and I bet we didn't even see him jump. If you've already concluded that there was no active coordination, that there was no knowing or unknowing participation, then no one is in criminal jeopardy for any of that. So therefore, Donald Trump could not have obstructed justice. Huh? We'll get to that. That the special counsel investigated potentially raising obstruction of justice concerns. After making a thorough factual investigation, they put the quotes around that almost like that's a laugh line. They expect us to laugh at that because it's a joke. Into these matters, the special counsel considered whether to evaluate the conduct. Whether to evaluate the conduct under department standards governing prosecution and declination decisions, but ultimately determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. In other words, you paid me a shit ton of money to do something, and the something you paid me a shit ton of money to do, I'm not going to do. Isn't that just darling? The special counsel, therefore, did not draw a conclusion, one way or the other, as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. Instead, for each of the relevant actions investigated, the report sets out evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as, again, the funny quotes, difficult issues of law and fact concerning whether the president's actions and intent could be viewed as obstruction. The special counsel states that, quote, again with the quotes, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Except it does, because Julius Geezer immediately jumped in front of the nearest microphone and said, I'm totally exonerated, totally. I'm so sorry this country had to be put through this. I'm so sorry I had to be put through this. I'm sorry so many lives had to be ruined, but I'm totally exonerated. So, in other words, instead of doing his job, he punted. Because if he had found that Trump had, in fact, obstructed justice, then he would have had to do something he really didn't want to do, and that is recommend impeachment or prosecution or both. And Bob Mueller is too much of a straight shooter. No, he's not. He's an apparatchik. It's all he's ever been. Okay? Yeah. The special counsel's decision to describe the facts of his obstruction investigation without reaching any legal conclusions leaves it to the Attorney General, that would be me, to determine whether the conduct described in the report constitutes a crime, and it doesn't. Because, hi, I'm Bill Barr. I owe my job to the guy that did all the justice obstructing. You think I'm getting... No. But what it also does is it sends a little message to Donald Trump not to fuck with Bill Barr. Because apparently Bill Barr thinks he knows where the bodies are buried. Over the course of the investigation, the special counsel's office engaged in discussions with certain department officials regarding many of the legal and factual matters at issue in the special counsel's obstruction investigation. In other words, that means that this thing was cooked up
by more than one. This stew was made by more than one cook. After reviewing the special counsel's final report on these issues, consulting with department officials, including the Office of Legal Counsel, and applying the principles of federal prosecution that guide our charging decisions, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I, both of us Republicans, have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Our determination was made without regard to and is not based on the constitutional considerations that surround the indictment and criminal prosecution of a sitting president. We didn't want to go there. We stayed out of there. Right. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that, quote, the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference. The fix is in. The dice were loaded. There was a break on the roulette wheel. How many other cheating analogies do you want? And that while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with regard to obstruction. Is that fancy language for saying this guy's too stupid to be able to form criminal intent? Or does it mean that maybe these guys know that he's so far gone that his mind is so reduced to some sort of fetid, fermented, toxic pudding that a jury would let him go on an insanity plea? Generally speaking, to obtain and sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in obstructive conduct with a sufficient nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding. In other words, if we're not going to charge anybody with conspiring with the Russians, he couldn't obstruct anybody. This is going to go down in the annals of American legal history as a complete sham and a blot on the honor and integrity, such as it has, of the FBI and the Office of the Attorney General. So, at the bottom, at the end, Bill Barr, whitewash artist, said, "The relevant regulations contemplate that the special counsel's report will be a confidential report to the Attorney General and a cite to the Federal Register from 1999. What's going on in 1999? Wait a minute. That was the great Clemus hunt, and somehow or another, that massive exercise in amateur pornography that Ken Starr produced somehow got out to the public. As I have previously stated, however, I'm mindful of the public interest in this matter. For that reason, my goal and intent is to release as much of the special counsel's report as I can, consistent with applicable law, regulations, and departmental policies." In other words, you ain't never going to see all of it. Forget it. Why, there's grand jury stuff in there. And you know what? That can be released, too. Based on my discussion with the special counsel and my initial review, it is apparent the report contains material that is or could be subject to Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6E, which imposes restrictions on the use and disclosure of information to matters occurring before a grand jury. Rule 6E generally limits disclosure of certain grand jury information in a criminal investigation and prosecution. But there is no prosecution, and the investigation is over. Disclosure of 6E material beyond the strict limits set forth in the rule is a crime in certain circumstances. This restriction protects the integrity of grand jury proceedings and ensures that the unique and invaluable investigative powers of a grand jury are used strictly for their intended criminal justice function. That's an after-the-fact justification. Given these restrictions, the schedule for processing the report depends in part on
how quickly the department can identify the 6E material that by law cannot be made public. I've requested, and I'm sure Bill Barr thinks that there's a, well, it's almost all 6E material. He's probably going to release something that's just a whole bunch of black blocks with and I don't know. Maybe at the end it'll say, I long for you tragically, A.T. Tapman, Chaplain. Separately, I must also identify any information that could impact other ongoing matters, including those that the special counsel has referred to other offices. You know, the several offices. As soon as that process is complete, I will be in a position to move forward expeditiously in determining what can be released in light of applicable law, regulations, and departmental policies. And then three little asterisks. And this almost sounds like Barr being kind of wistful. As I observed in my initial notification, the special counsel regulations provide that the Attorney General may determine the public release of the notification to your respective committees would be in the public interest. I have so determined, and I will disclose this letter to the public after delivering it to you. Sincerely, William P. Barr, Attorney General, and not even a God Bless America in there. Then again, maybe it isn't warranted. There you go, Steve in New York. Trump's defense, dumbfluenza. There we go. Right. So that's the first hour of the program, the Barr letter. A sham, a scam, a ripoff. Use whatever language you wish. But what they hope is that this will make everything go away. And they provided a great big brass coat hook for Precious Lindsay to hang his hat on, and the various and sundry maggots in the house to hang theirs on. And that's where it stands until we get whatever it is that he says he's going to release. One hopes that there might be, maybe not, one patriotic American out there inside the Mueller investigation or inside the Attorney General's office who is willing to take the risks necessary to provide this to the American people who paid for it and in whose name it was done. Okay. Jesus. I can happily announce that thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy, Chris's challenge is only $40 away from being met. That's tremendous. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Cletus and Twiggy. So hopefully in this second hour we'll knock down that last four. Hey, how about four new subscribers? It's that time of the, it's a good time of the month to have new subscribers, but how about it? Hope we can. A couple of other emails. Let's see here. Albert from Rhode Island says, I'll believe the accuracy of the report when all of the report gets released to the New York Times. There we go. There we go. So, got any thoughts on it? You want to talk about it? I mean, it's been gnawing on our little noggins for a couple of days now. The letter's been out there for, at least, 24 hours now. And I can only assume that it's that it has bothered, if that's the word, you, as much as it has me. Let's run out and find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Billable Rick. What's up, man?
Hey. I tell you, I was transfixed yesterday by all the news coverage of the Barr letter and everything else. And, you know, I mean, as usual, the mainstream media just gets it wrong every time, you know?
Well, yeah, you tell me what, why do you think so?
Well, I mean, I guess they let the propaganda on the airwaves. Like they get, you know, they let Trump talk about it. They let all the other Republicans talk about it. They say how, you know, they were all wrong on thinking that there was, you know, collusion or conspiracy with Russia, and how the media got it all wrong. And, you know, the bit about the, you know, the rest of the charges having to do with obstruction, how, you know, they did say that Mueller punted on that, which is true. He clearly did. You know, I mean, I think it was just a big propaganda fest, to tell you the truth, even on CNN, you know? That's what I usually watch, Bob. You know, that's the sense I got. How about you? Where were you when the news broke? I'll tell you how I found out about it. I was watching the NCAA tournament, and, like, right before halftime, there was this, like, breaking news that came on, which they never have on, you know, on CBS, about how the report had been, you know, released, or at least the main findings of it had been released by Barr. And so then that was my cue to kind of tune into CNN and, you know, catch that in between, you know, commercial breaks for the, you know, basketball and so forth, you know? So that's how I found about it. How about you? Where were you?
I'd been watching and waiting all day, and I had to run across to Fayetteville.
Okay.
And so I was actually enjoying a bowl of soup.
Oh, my goodness.
Not just any soup, though. It was coconut curry cauliflower soup.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Hey, it's almost thick enough to be a gravy. And it's
wow.
Delicious. It's absolutely delicious.
Wow.
And so it was, you know, sort of quiet where I was, and my phone went ding, and I went, fuck.
Oh, no. You were waiting. Yeah, yeah.
But I've been waiting for, to be fair, Rick, I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Right, right. You figured it would be a fix and a cover-up, basically.
Yeah. Republicans don't rat out other Republicans. That's part of how they maintain their massive access to power.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's in it for Mueller, except that the fact that he still gets invited to all the, you know, social events for the Republicans and so forth in D.C. and what have you, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maintain his social standing, you know?
And, you know, meanwhile, Mitch McConnell, meanwhile, breaking news of sorts, Mitch McConnell, who, of course, was the beneficiary of tons of NRA money, bunch of which were rubles, he blocked an attempt by the Democrats in the Senate to call for the Department of Justice to release the Mueller report to the public in full. Chuck Schumer introduced that particular resolution, and Chinless Mitch said, ain't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's par for the course for him. You know? Not at all surprised.
So are you harboring any hopes at all? I mean, Southern District of New York, Eastern District of Virginia, anything?
Some prosecutions? Not as long as this Goomba's in office, you know. I mean, the only thing that can happen is there could be, you know, sealed indictments that are, you know, held in abeyance until he's no longer the president, you know. You know, possible that his family members could get in trouble, but, you know, it's very rare for a member of a president's family to get indicted for anything, if you've noticed that, you know, over the years, you know.
Well, true, but... So now that after having said, well, you know, we've got to protect Mueller and we've got to wait for the report to come out, now that the report turns out to be a whitewash nothing burger, What do the Democrats do? Fold up well, their tents and go home, or do you, or do we have the courage to recognize what a slipshod piece of premeditated horseshit this is, and say, well, you know, if the Justice Department isn't willing to do its job, if Bob Mueller wasn't willing to do his job, if Bill Barr isn't willing to do his job, then Congress is, and particularly the House of Representatives, will have to do it for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's I think that's a legitimate way to go about it. I mean, I think we always kind of knew that, at the very most that would happen is there would be, you know, recommendations to Congress as to what to do. I mean, we sort of knew, I think, based on this DOJ policy, you know, that a sitting president cannot be indicted. I don't agree with it, but, I mean, based on that policy, we sort of knew that it would be thrown into the political branches to do something about. You know, that was sort of, you know, kind of the unspoken understanding. And, this kind of puts Congress in a situation where it's like, okay, there's no recommendations. I mean, unlike with the, great cleanest hunt of the 90s with Ken, Star Chamber, doing the investigation, there were specific, I think there was even a draft indictment as to what he should be charged with, for purposes.
So, you did criminal prosecution in a U.S. attorney's office. Tell
right.
us, the Barr goes to great pains to tell us about how concerned he is with making sure that he follows Rule Criminal Procedure 6E. What's 6E?
It basically is grand jury secrecy. All proceedings that occur in front of the grand jury are protected by secrecy unless the witness, him or herself, decides to disclose what they said to the grand jury. There's no prohibition on a witness in a grand jury proceeding basically repeating what they told, the grand jury. It's the only persons who are in the grand jury itself, other persons other than the witness, they're prohibited from, disclosing basically the contents or substance of any of the matters that occur in front of a grand jury. So, for example, the stenographer cannot just release a copy of the transcript of grand jury testimony without subjecting, him or herself to criminal liability for violating Rule 6E. Basically.
Okay, so it just so happens that I've got Rule 6E here before me.
Good.
And it's clear, it says, it's got a list of people who can't disclose grand jury matters. A member
right.
of the grand jury, an interpreter, a court reporter, an operator of a recording device, a person who transcribes recorded testimony, an attorney
right.
for the government, or a person to whom disclosure is made under Rule 6E3A1 or 2 or 3.
Right.
However,
right.
that is followed by paragraph 3, exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, contrary to what Bill Barr made it sound like in his letter,
mm-hmm.
there are exceptions whereby grand jury materials can be made public.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
A, disclosure of a grand jury matter other than the grand jury's deliberations or any grand juror's vote. They just can't come out. May be made to an attorney for the government for use in performing that attorney's duty.
Right.
Any government personnel, including those of a state subdivision, Indian tribe, or foreign government, that an attorney for the government considers necessary to assist in performing that attorney's duty to enforce federal criminal law, or a person authorized by 18 U.S.C. Section 3322.
Right.
Now, a U.S. attorney can disclose grand jury matter to another federal grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And the court, and this is way down at 6EE, the court may authorize disclosure at a time in a matter and subject to any other conditions that it directs of a grand jury matter preliminarily to or in connection with a judicial proceeding at the request of a defendant, at the request of the government, at the request of the government if it shows that the matter may disclose a violation of state, yada, 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 at the request mm-hmm. of the government if it shows that the matter may disclose a violation of military criminal law. Then we get F. A petition to disclose a grand jury matter may be filed, must be filed, in the district where the grand jury convened.
Right.
The attorney for the government, the parties to the judicial proceeding, and any other person whom the court may designate. In other words, the court can break all of those rules if it is properly asked so to do.
Exactly. Yeah, there's lots of exceptions to Rule 60.
So isn't Barr being just a little bit disingenuous when he pretends that 6E is some sort of impenetrable cloak of silence?
Oh yeah, of course he is. I mean, look at his view of, you know, the president cannot commit he cannot commit obstruction of justice because he's technically the head of the, you know, the executive branch.
I mean, I hate to see so many little threads running around, but there's one that I tugged on today.
Okay.
And it had Bill Barr's name on it, and mm-hmm. I pulled it, and the next thing you know, I was hearing Richard Nixon say, if the president does it, it isn't illegal.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, okay, the stuff that's not in that letter is as interesting as any of the words are.
Right. Quite right.
Did you notice, the president, did you notice, you know, not his name? But right. There was another name that was missing. Care to guess?
Vice President.
James Comey.
Oh.
Because the first obvious act of obstruction mm-hmm. was firing Comey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then talking about it to Lester Holt on NBC News on the interview.
And telling him that he fired him specifically because of the Russia investigation.
And then, the next day, the day after the firing, he met with the Kislyak and the Russian ambassador in the White House without any U.S. media, without any note-takers, no translators, nobody. Just Kislyak and another Russian guy, and saying how he did it, you know, because of the Russia thing. You know?
And this will take a lot of pressure off.
Right. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
That's intent. That's motive.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. somehow, no harm, no foul. I mean, is that it?
Seems to be, Bob. Of course, he's not going to say that. You know? I mean, you know, knowing Barr's, you know, history in basically, you know, recommending that H.W. Bush pardon everybody associated with Iran-Contra just on the eve of, I believe, was Caspar Weinberger's trial? I think it was on the eve of his trial.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need to, you know, anybody who could finger H.W. Bush was going to get pardoned. And so that was like, up, down the memory hole. Nothing to see here. Move along now. You know, I think this is how this country is governed whenever there's Republican administrations in place, Bob. You know, look at Nixon.
Yeah, it's
Bush Senior did.
It's governance by criminal organization.
Yeah, yeah. George W. Bush. Look at what he did. The war crimes and the torture and everything else. You know, but when it's a Democrat, it's in there. They're held to the standard that, you know, presidents should be held to, but the Republican presidents aren't held to.
Is that because Republican presidents just can't?
I think so.
They're incapable. They cannot. I mean, that says something. A Republican president cannot live up to the standards that we expect presidents to live up to. So we've got to come up with some sort of, I don't know, Republican affirmative action standards.
There you go. Precisely. I think so.
Well, let me, since I do have you for a couple of minutes, let me ask you about the other story, because I see a sort of intersection here. The news out of the Southern District of New York that they've decided to lower the boom on Michael Avenatti.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not and never have been a member of the Michael Avenatti fan club.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought people had just gone right out of their tiny little trees. Oh, he sounds, ooh, maybe he could run against Trump.
Yeah.
But he has been a massive thorn in Trump's mm-hmm. side.
He has.
And he's under arrest now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here's the way that shook out, as I understand it.
Okay.
He, as a lawyer, wrote to Nike
mm-hmm.
and said, I have a client who is going to drop a big old turd in your punch bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna knock the teeth out of your market capitalization.
Okay.
And if you pay me, the case will settle, and nothing further will be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got extortion charges filed against him.
Well, by that token, I think just about every attorney who. Every plaintiff's attorney who, threatens to sue, isn't.
Well, that was the first thing that popped into my mind. Let's say you've got somebody who was grievously injured by a product. Maybe it was a mm-hmm. car, mm-hmm. and you say, "Listen, this is our demand letter.
Right.
You pay X simoleons,
uh-huh.
and we'll go away.
Right.
Otherwise, at the trial, we're gonna the whole world's gonna find out that you designed a car knowing full damn well that you were gonna kill X number of people with it, but it was mm-hmm. cheaper to pay them off than it was to redesign the car.
Right.
You know what I'm describing there, right?
Sounds like the Ford Pinto to me.
It is exactly the Ford Pinto.
I was actually involved in an accident in a Pinto.
Doing a lot of accidents, Rick.
I know, man. Tell me about it. This one wasn't my fault. It was a high school friend of mine. We were hurrying to get some lunch, like after school was out, you know, like in the lunch hour in high school. And he was going too fast, hit the brakes hard to stop at a stop sign, but slipping and got caught, the tires caught on wet leaves, and into the intersection he went, hit by a big mother truck, pickup truck on the side. That was the end of that car, you know. But anyway, continue, Bob. I went on a little segue there.
Well, no, I'm just asking. You don't make an arrest like that. And they went out and got an arrest warrant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't make an arrest like that without it being cleared all the way up to the attorney general.
Yeah, I think so, especially against an attorney for conduct related to his representation of a client. Yeah. That one is...
And see, the thing is, the nature, what Avenatti was saying is that it was going to go down tomorrow.
Okay.
So here's one of the more interesting aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
They may be trying to keep him in jail so that he can't do what he said he was going to do.
Hmm. Hmm. That could be. Sounds like a prior restraint to me. Violation of the First Amendment right to free speech, Bob. You know? You can't restrain speech before it happens. You can punish illegal speech after the fact.
But doesn't this, I mean, this has Donald Trump's fingerprints all over it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt it does. Yeah, and dirty Bill Barr as well.
Yeah. Well, and see, Trump was talking about seeking retribution. He's already been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And, of course, this is the guy who shamed him over his fetish for porn stars and paying them off.
Yeah, and made him an unindicted co-conspirator as to campaign finance violations that Michael Cohen pled guilty to. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're calling it, and they're calling them fraud charges.
Hmm, okay. Well.
Well, either you've got the goods or you don't.
Right, right. Right. So has he been denied bail then? I'd be surprised if he was denied bail. White-collar defendants like him are hardly ever denied bail.
Well, it's Southern District of New York, and he's California, so flight risk?
Oh. Okay, well, I suppose so, but he's also charged in California as well. So I think he's one of these bi-coastal guys, Bob. I think he has ties to both coasts.
So here's what he tweeted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At 12:16 p.m. today, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we will be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that we have uncovered. This criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball. Less than an hour later.
Wow.
U.S. Wow. Attorney SDNY tweets, press conference today at 2:30. to announce charges against Michael Avenatti for attempting to extort more than $20 million in payments from Nike by threatening to garner publicity to inflict financial and reputational harm if his demands were not met.
Let me ask you a question, Bob.
All right.
You know anything about the CEO of Nike? Does he, perchance, is he a Trumpanzee?
Phil Knight?
I guess he's not, is he? No, he's a... Isn't he a good liberal, supposedly? I mean, I'm just wondering if Nike's in cahoots with the government. You know how this goes, Bob. I mean,
this is perfect though, because Nike got a bunch of good press over Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And the SDNY has gotten a lot of good press over Michael Cohen, and Avenatti has gotten a lot of good press over outing the porn star payoffs.
Right.
And so Trump gets a double win if he can take down Nike and Avenatti at the same time. Because now, what do you do if you're Michael Avenatti? If you're a lawyer who's got the goods,
you
right?
Release them. You have your co-counsel.
Yeah, you didn't pay. They obviously didn't pay the $20 million bucks. So fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Release the information.
Mm-hmm.
Or have co-counsel. Yeah, hopefully you've got co-counsel ready to go.
Well, the difficulty he has, Bob, is he's known to welch on his debts. Okay.
Well, he's known for that, and he's also known for pitching things that don't come to fruition.
Yeah. So I doubt whether he's got a law partner anymore, because he had one in L.A. or Orange County, and that partnership imploded, and, there were some allegations that he tried to, make off with some of the firm's, let's say capital, if you want to call it that, in the bankruptcy case. So, he's a bit unsavory, I have to admit,
Yeah, well, like I said, I never jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, he has like an $8 million tax lien against him for not paying payroll taxes for his coffee company that he purchased, that whole deal. So, there was a large judgment awarded against him, I think, in the bankruptcy court against him by his former firm. So, he doesn't pay people, basically. He welches on his debt. So I doubt there's anybody that's left other than him to make that announcement. It does seem to be strange, the timing, I don't believe in coincidences like this, Bob. I don't know about you, but the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is definitely feeling his oats right now, and why not try something like this, at least in his mind, Well, he's got this big wave support, supposedly, Yeah, it's I think the Democrats were putting too much hope in the Mueller report, to tell you the truth, you know. Some Democrats were. Again, how can you expect, you know, a Republican that's investigating a Republican to be honest and transparent in their investigative findings? You know, granted, they did have a lot of career prosecutors working on the case, and a lot of those were Democrats in terms of, you know, that's their, you know, orientation. Like, I believe Andrew Weissman was a very well-known, you know, Democrat. I think his wife, did his wife run for some, I don't know, I'm getting people confused here. I thought his wife ran for some Democratic seat.
Oh, no, that was McCabe's.
That was McCabe's wife, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you've got these career people that are very dedicated, but then in the end, Bob, they've got to do whatever their boss concludes has to be done, you know? So if the conclusion is that you don't go after Don, you don't go after, you know, Eric, you don't go after, you know, Melania and, you know, Kushner, you know, then they don't do it, you know? That's kind of what it amounts to. You know, there is still trouble out there for Trump as far as investigations in the SDNY. I have a little more confidence in that investigation than I do in the Mueller investigation, but again...
But doesn't this latest story tell you that there's complete institutional control over the SDNY too?
Maybe not as much, because I mean,
that doesn't sound like it. That doesn't sound like a prosecutor's office that's gone rouge.
No. No. I mean, they are known as very tough-minded. You know, they went really hard on Cohen, even though Mueller apparently, you know, thought he should be given a lighter sentence, you know. I mean, there is a certain independence regionally, but they all, again, have to ultimately report to the Attorney General, especially matters that are of, you know, such important public interest and high profile and, you know, famous, you know, prosecutions of famous people and what have you.
I do have a bit of information. This just came in from Irish Dave. Okay. In spite of his public rep, the majority of Phil Knight's political giving is to God's Omerta Party. GOP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But for the sake of history, Rick, I think we need to wander back a few years. It was Christmas Day 1992.
Okay. Right.
When, with the connivance of William Barr, George H.W. Bush pardoned, let's see, he pardoned one conviction, three guilty pleas, and two pending cases. This is from the New York Times story of December 25th, 1992. But in a single stroke, Mr. Bush swept away one conviction, three guilty pleas, and two pending cases, virtually decapitating what was left of Mr. Walsh, that's Lawrence Walsh, the special prosecutor, of Mr. Walsh's effort, which began in 1986. Mr. Bush's decision was announced by the White House in a printed statement after the president left for Camp David, where he will spend the Christmas holiday. Mr. Walsh bitterly condemned the president's action, charging that, quote, the Iran-Contra cover-up, which has continued for more than 6 years, has now been completed. Mr. Walsh directed his heaviest fire at Mr. Bush over the pardon of Mr. Weinberger, whose trial would have given the prosecutor a last chance to explore the role in the affair of senior Reagan officials, including Mr. Bush's actions as vice president, evidence of conspiracy.
Right. Yeah, there was talk, I think, before that trial, before the pardon, that that Bush might even have to testify at the trial. I think he was on the witness list of the special prosecutor, if I'm not mistaken. You know?
Yeah.
That's the last thing he wanted to do, is have to get up there in court and lie his ass off. I'm sure he would be more than happy to have done so. But why put yourself in that jeopardy if you don't have to?
I mean, this is it's so long ago, but it feels so much like yesterday. I remember I was on the road that day. I was driving home, down to Alabama to spend Christmas with my parents. But the news story says President-elect Bill Clinton, how's that sound, at a news conference in Little Rock, Arkansas, to announce his remaining cabinet selection, said he wanted to learn more about the pardons, adding, "I am concerned by any action that sends a signal that if you work for the government, you're beyond the law, or that not telling the truth to Congress under oath is somehow less serious than not telling the truth to some other body under oath."
Yeah, 92. I was just starting with the government then, Bob, I think. I was just starting with the U.S. Attorney's Office then. So, yeah, that's where I was then. So, yeah, I think I remember being incensed about that as well. And I know Walsh went ballistic. He wrote a whole book about it, I believe.
Yeah.
You know? And the guy, like, lived to be, like, 99 years old or something crazy like that. Because he just died, like, in 2011, not that long ago, really, you know? What's old is new again. It's amazing how this seems to come full circle. And the problem is you pardon people and then they're back in, seats of power. Like what? John Negroponte, right? And, who's that guy who was castigated by that, freshman representative, not that long ago. I'm trying to remember who that is.
Yeah.
For his Central American policies. Along the lines of a Negroponte kind of a character, you know? And then you get these ghouls like...
Oh, I know. What?
Gates? Was it Gates?
Ilhan Omar took Elliot Abrams.
Oh, Elliot Abrams. Yeah. So you get these... you get these people who basically... supervised over, torture programs and, programs involving the indiscriminate killing of civilians by foreign governments just because they like the leaders at the top, anti-communist or whatever the hell they thought they were. And these people never faced the bar of justice. Either they never faced the bar of justice, or if they are, they're pardoned by Republican presidents to rise again for the next Republican administration. It's like, it's like the zombies that just won't die. You've got to put a stake through their heart and chop their head off, and even then they could still come back, with a pardon,
And Barr was referred to by, again, the New York Times, William Safire at the time, and he was a conservative columnist.
Okay.
But he called him the cover-up general.
Okay. Yeah.
And Safire went so far as to describe a previous incident in which George H.W. Bush had been involved in selling, there's another phrase, weapons of mass destruction to, wait for it, Saddam Hussein.
There you go.
Barr covered that up for Bush, too.
Oh, wow. And he had a very short tenure as Attorney General last time as well, I think, like only a year and a half. So I think he's kind of like the guy who comes in, Bob, to clean up the crime scene, like after everybody's been murdered and butchered, the guy like in, I'm trying to remember the movie here, the cleanup artist who has the plastic sheets and everything else. I'm thinking of the John Travolta movie, the Tarantino movie.
Right. And, I know who we're...
Jackson.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, this is terrible, Bob. I usually have a better memory than this. I'm sure somebody will tell us what movie we're talking about. But, he's like the specialist that comes by.
The cleaner.
To clean up. Yeah, he's the cleaner, exactly. Yeah. Or as in Breaking Bad, there was a cleaner as well, if you ever,
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah.
And here's a fun thing about Bill Barr you might enjoy.
Okay.
He was interviewed by something called the Miller Center at the University of Virginia.
Uh-huh.
It was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him about the Weinberger pardons. And Barr said, there were some people arguing just for a pardon for Weinberger, and I said, no, in for a penny, in for a pound. I went over and told the president I thought he should not only pardon Caspar Weinberger, but while he was at it, he should pardon about five others. It was his idea.
Right.
This kind of sleazy garbage is the stuff that he traffics in.
You know, Bob, when he was...
He is as crooked as a dog's hind leg.
He is. I remember when he was nominated by Trump, I read that same statement of the interview that he told the Miller report or whatever the hell it was. And, yeah, I remember that was it. You know, it's like, hey, let's just go for the gusto here. Why just do one pardon, you know? Yeah, it's like, well... I guess, you know, there's like, you know, a few different systems of justice out there. There's, you know, there's one for the, you know, poor people, three systems. One for the poor people, they get public defenders and probably get convicted. One for the middle class, they have to, like, sell all their assets to afford an attorney, and, you know, chances are they're going to get convicted. The very rich, nah, we'll just let them go. You know, that's why I expect most of these people caught up in the whole college admission scandal to get slaps on the wrist as far as sentences. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have any great expectations of anybody being hailed off in handcuffs, you know?
No, there's not going to be a perp walk here.
No perp walk. Perp walk. Yeah.
Well, good to talk to you, Rick.
Absolutely, Bob.
Wait a second. Scott in San Diego says, William Barr is the Mike Ehrmantraut of the Trump team. Great analogy.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. There we go. That's what I was remembering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I typed in Tarantino movies and came up with Pulp Fiction. So.
Right.
I'm looking forward to his next movie. It's supposed to be good. It's going to come out in the summertime, I think, Bob. That's what I've heard.
Oh, cool.
What is it? What's it called? Does that have a name yet? It's the one with Brad Pitt.
Did I lose you?
You there, Bob?
Oh, you're there. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, Bob. Well, anyway, you take care, all right?
All right, we'll do.
Keep it up.
All right, later.
All right.
Bye now.
Uh-huh, bye.
The one and only Billable Rick, who sounds quite hale and healthy, and that was kind of worrisome two Fridays back when he'd been in the wreck. Okay, over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Yo.
Can you hear me, Bob?
I hear you.
Bob. Scary Jerry.
Hey, what's happening, Jerry, man? Good to hear from you.
I've been trying to call you since January 1st. I got a cold and then a flu and then a cold. Today is the first day I can actually talk on the phone and not cough, and that's mostly because I'm spitting mad. I enjoy hearing, and we have to start calling him Partner Rick because, you know, to show proper respect.
Right.
This is a call from the East Coast, and you know what? I felt this feeling three times that I felt all weekend, and I abandoned all social media, abandoned political podcasts, and I couldn't hear it. I just couldn't hear another word of it. And I said, you know what? This feels like that time me and my mom, God bless her soul, we were at the supermarket. We're in the parking lot, not really paying attention. And a guy goes, hey, I got TVs. So me and my mom, cut from the same cloth, obviously go, ooh, you know, a bargain, a deal. A little bit of New York in us, even though she was Jamaican. So we went to the guy's trunk, and we saw a box that was all covered in plastic and had promotional stickers on it and everything. And we were so excited. We had the guy follow us home. Because we were so excited about our luck.
Yeah.
And transaction was made. It was $150. And the only way the story makes sense is, think about when black and white TVs were a big deal. Okay, now that makes sense. And I've also revealed my age. When black and white TV, even like a 19-inch, is $500. Big box thing. So I pick up the TV and I'm like, oh, shit. This doesn't feel right. It's not heavy enough. It was an old black and white TV with some rocks in it.
Oh.
The next time I felt this feeling was the Iran-Contra thing. It's amazing how that comes up. I was like, wait a second, nobody's going to jail? This motherfucker just started the crack revolution and nobody's going to jail? Get the fuck out of here. Nope, Bill Barr was there. The next time I felt this way was 9/11. Mueller was there. Mueller's the fucking wolf. He's the cleaner. Bill Barr's the cooler. He settles everybody down. He gives it the panacea of credibility. So, what are we to do as liberals, progressives? Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here.
All right. What are we to do? All of us need to go find and register a voter for 20.
Yeah, that's all that's left. I mean, I want the at least the Democrats in the House have a passing interest in trying to figure out what's going on, but they can't drag anybody in front of a jury. So the only out is to get rid of him in November of 2020. And that means, go ahead.
Not even a wave, a blue hurricane, something like from Dune, where everybody's coming, and they got their voter ID and their card in hand, and just all coming, and the bitch-ass old lady is going, oh, I can't stand this, I'm leaving, there's too many. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, not a blue wave, a blue NAMI.
Blue hurricane.
A blue NAMI, a blue NAMI. That's just too cute. A blue tsunami. But the bottom, and that's why I keep saying, Jerry, dare to dream. Look at that list of the Senate in 2020 and commit to doing something to help everyone. And I don't even mean money. If there's an opportunity to phone bank for somebody, phone bank for them.
Lately, I've been thinking attack ads. I've been thinking that a lot. Any Democrat who decides to buy ads on TV, I may personally go slap them. Okay, I'm talking the flashovers and stuff on the screens we actually look at. Most of us don't watch TV anymore. That's for the old people. That's where Trump beat the Democratic Party the last time. I saw it. I couldn't explain it. I was like, this is weird. All right, I'm on the fourth social networking site on the planet, Reddit. Now, Reddit has a lot of alt-right shit, but it's also the most liberal place I've ever been to in the world. It's where you go, basically, you know. And Reddit usually controls the online dialogue for everything. You know, it happens on Reddit, happens 2 weeks later on Facebook, maybe a month later on Twitter. Shit was coming from Facebook, though, during the election. Professionally done shit. That's one thing. I talked to some of my gangster friends. He goes, yo, I just did some tile on a house in the Keys. All Russians, they're all just yelling and laughing. That's another thing. And just Russians in my neighborhood, a certain cockiness that I really can't, you can't put your finger on it. You just, you know, some foul shit went down. At least equivalent to 911. And you know what? I think it's time we take Trump seriously. How about that?
I've been taking him seriously for a long, long time, Jerry.
You know what I'm saying now.
Yeah, but he's gonna get serious. The allegations against him with regard to the Russians and they provided. I know it doesn't seem like there were any, but they provided a bit of a break on him. And
think about the attack campaign that the Republicans would launch if this was a Democratic president with all of this smoke around him. Just think like that and do likewise. Fuck fair, fuck level, fuck all of that. Seriously. And support the candidate, no matter what. Whoever he is, or whoever she is. You in a fight, I might come and slap you this time. Tired of this shit. We stayed out of too many fucking elections. We did. We were off doing liberal stuff. Fucking listening to music. That's what we do.
Or shrieking at each other over a candidate. I mean, that's...
And we thought it would all be okay, and it would all work out, and it would all be fine. It's not fine. And it's, oh, if we don't do this now, that's it. I'm moving to Canada. Seriously. Because you know what?
Dude, you'll freeze.
Yeah, well, I'll find some nice big Canadian girl. We'll work it out. No, no, I can't leave Florida. I've just figured out the crazy. Maybe I should work on de-electing the guy I got, even though he just voted for him. And I got some actual progressive points that we need to hammer. But first, two things I wanted to bring up. I'm going to upload a video to you about what I was doing that probably got me sick on December 31st, 2018.
Okay.
I went to the racetrack casino thing they had, and it was the opposite. It was almost a taco truck on every corner, Bob. It was amazing.
Oh.
I got to see 15 different New Year celebrations from all different cultures. And I got to do the dance with all of them. I got to learn a song that I've never heard since, but I'm like, that's my new favorite song. I don't understand a word in it, but everybody else knew the words. So I joined in. It was beautiful. I live in a beautiful fucking community. I really do. People wave as they walk by, and I'm in a metroplex. There's 6 million people running around here. You know, if you add all the counties together.
Yeah.
So that's good. And a comedian was making a joke about this 5 foot tall, 5 foot wide Mexican guy who dug pools, and he could dig a pool by himself in 6 hours, which you get, that's going to take you about 6 white guys or 4 black guys, but 1 Mexican, let's all be honest. I'm chocolate complexed, I can make that joke. And he goes, well, and he's talking to the contractor, I kind of hate that I might have to fire him. And the comedian goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, he's illegal. And he goes, hold on, I've never seen an illegal before. He walks over and he looks at him, he goes, you look human as fuck, bro. What do you mean? And then he goes, as he's talking to this guy, his head keeps going lower and lower and lower. And son of a bitch, they haven't cracked the beer yet. This Mexican has dug a hole for a pool. He goes, give that man a fucking green card. What the hell's wrong with you? Come and bring his brothers. That's what we need. Now, I got into a couple arguments lately. There was a Trump supporter that was oppressive. And I think he has a crush on me, and he's having a hard time dealing with it. I didn't do his deal, but that would start a fight, but whatever. Anyways, I got mad, and I actually was going to football tackle him today. And then I stopped, and I said, no, we're supposed to be the smart side. So I called his boss instead and asked him, how much does he pay this guy to stand out here to be an asshole? And it worked. He was that look, it was awesome. That was some liberal progressive shit. Wanted him to get in trouble, didn't want him to get fired. But I made my point. So, I talked to some Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson people last week.
Oh, those had to, that had to be a real exercise in fun and frivolity.
I turned them on to your show. First of all, I was thinking, how much would I pay to have Ben Shapiro get bitch slapped by Bob Kincaid? Yikes, that would be too much. I would pay money for that. Do you?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here pondering it.
How much would you pay for that? The other thing is, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to go Mormon style with some, and I think, I already thought of this, some matches, Mike says, keep one lit. He never showed us how. Bob gives us the matches. Or, come smoke with us. Come smoke one with us on Friday. Friday's on the porch, National Call-In Show. I had a career in marketing a long time ago. So that's how we're going to do it. Oh, and Green New Deal? This is what the Green New Deal is. And I pulled this out of my ass, and I said, why the fuck not? He goes, oh, the Green New Deal, it's too this, it's too that. I go, what are you so upset about flying cars and spaceships, bro? That blew up like a grenade. They had nothing to say after that.
Yeah, why are you so bummed out at the prospect of never paying for another gallon of gasoline? I mean, are they huffing the stuff, Jerry? What?
They had nothing to do with that because you know what? Let's be honest. Since the death of the Fairness Doctrine, it's been all Republican bullshit. From the moment you're 5 sitting in the back of your dad's truck as he's fixing a tire. You go to the mechanic, everywhere. So you think they've created and enforced an unreality bubble. So I said, sky grid. What's the sky grid? Well, you get some solar cells. You fly them in near Earth orbit. You beam the power down.
You know, it's interesting. We have there's a dear friend of the program who has actually been working on that for a long time. Solar power.
Once you leave the atmosphere, it's easy.
Solar power from space.
Yeah, and you're getting what, 70%, 90% transfer?
Yeah, with receiver, you know, Earth stations.
And while you're at it, throw some broadband for the home, you know, the homies, people like you. Because broadband ain't coming for y'all. It's too fucking expensive. I've been thinking about that, too. How much data do you need going up?
Well,
how big of a channel?
Oh, I mean, I operate on a 1.5 pipe. And it's pretty puny. I don't know what it would be like to upload the program every night and not have it take 15 minutes to do it. So you get the idea.
I totally get the idea.
But as far as I'm concerned, if nothing else, we should be focused now. I mean, this tells us
we need to lock on this feeling and go. If Trump wins in 2020, it'll feel like this plus 1,000 times worse.
And it's going to, and I'm going to share something with you real quick. I said earlier, Jerry, they've got the bit in their teeth. Well, Sparky just sent along this memo. I'd seen a story mentioning it, but I hadn't seen the memo itself. Two television producers from Tim Murtaugh, Director of Communications, Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., date March 25th, 2019, regarding credibility of certain guests. As you know, special counsel Robert Mueller's report found that no one associated with President Donald J. Trump's 2016 campaign colluded with Russia, despite repeated offers from Russia-linked operatives. The special counsel also made no recommendation on obstruction, which is a decision in itself. Using the information provided by Mueller, the Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General determined that there was no obstruction. This is all the result of the special counsel's 2,800 subpoenas, blah, blah, blah. The only way to interpret yada, the issuance of these definitive findings comes after 2 years of Democrat leaders and others lying to the American people by vigorously and repeatedly claiming there was evidence of collusion. They made many of these false claims without evidence on your airwaves. And he lists Richard Blumenthal, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Eric Swalwell, DNC Chairman Tom Perez, former CIA Director John Brennan. Moving forward, we ask that you employ basic journalistic standards when booking such guests to appear anywhere in your universe of productions. You should begin by asking the basic question, does this guest warrant further appearances in our programming, given the outrageous and unsupported claims made in the past? At a minimum, right. So now
like a guest list to me.
They are emboldened to begin dictating what media may cover. That is pure, straight up 200 proof fascism.
Wow. The day Trump got elected, all right, and I saw that shit, and I said, all right, I'm going back to bed. It was definitely when it was Groundhog Day. I'm going back to bed. An A-10 tank killer flew over my house, cleared it about by 50 feet. Did a full burn, a little twist, and then took off. Pretty sure that guy had iron crosses tattooed somewhere. You feel me, Bob?
Oh yeah. No, there are gay.
Pretty sure. Just
no. That look. Like I just said, as weird as it may feel to say it, he's actually had some constraints on him. He feels like they're off now. I mean, he wants to get his war on in Venezuela. Don't know if you saw it. Russian troops just landed in Venezuela.
I saw that.
That's encouraging.
I said, we need to give him the Benghazi treatment. We also need to go, hey, didn't we have a Monroe Doctrine? What happened with that? Do we give that up for Lent? We need comedians and shit talkers. We really do.
Yeah, I try. Just, you know, it's a small.
You try.
It's a small community, but it's weird how these ideas find themselves. They come out in places I never would expect to hear them.
Comedy is what you have some comedy instead of this tight ass thing where we always come back at. We got to change that. We have to have the one liner ready. Maybe practice it at home. And comedy is the only way to fix this. And the promise of jobs. And you go to veterans, all right, who went into the military most times because they need a job. And you go to energy workers, especially energy workers whose jobs are disappearing, and go, how would you like a one-week shift and 3 weeks off? And you start the conversation there.
Paid for all four?
Yeah. Because you can only do a week in space is what it's looking. And then you got to come back and get normal. And then go back up.
The future. The future.
Imagine the selfies you're going to send your girlfriend. Imagine the new electric truck you're going to buy. That's how you do it. We got to come up with a dream instead of a list of complaints.
There.
Which is how we do.
Yep. There we go. We're back to that again, aren't we, Jerry? Dare to dream.
Yeah. That future I just described, I want to live in that motherfucker. Right the fuck now, and I know it's possible. I know it. The other thing I fought for, a Green New Deal, is a high-speed rail and an X pattern. An X pattern with a middle thing between it across the country. That's how you also deliver the bandwidth. You put the fiber optic right on the train track.
Wow.
And the chances are you're not going to get everybody, but you're going to get everybody else. And then you pay bounties to and we need two more fucking phone companies. We're going to three phone companies for 300 million people. That's retarded. It's our bandwidth. It's our airspace.
And it's not that. Yeah, that's certainly not going to foster innovation. Not by a long shot. Man,
everything's about to go to shit. Really.
I'm so glad you're feeling better, man.
I've so many stories, Bob. So many things I've seen. I've decided. Oh, and CBD weed came to my town. I like CBD weed better than regular weed. Huh? Didn't see that coming. But, and that's the other thing the Democrats need to get the fuck up off of, because fucking Nixon did this, and we're still taking Nixon's putting our ass. Really, Democrats? No, decriminalize now. Let the state sort out everything else. But unless somebody's walking around with a pound. And a ghetto blaster, leave them the fuck alone. And expunge everybody's records, too. Weed legalization just broke down in New Jersey because the police couldn't let go. No, black people can't work there if they have a fucking conviction. Literally, that's what happened.
Well, we're still waiting to find out if our banking system's going to get unscrewed enough for people to be able to deposit, you know. And all we are is medical. But that's July 1 of this year. And granted, no flower, no bud. You know, oils, tinctures, pills, you know, whatever. But, you know, if the government would decriminalize, then bang, the banking issue goes away. I mean,
pretty much.
When's the last time you heard of a bank that didn't want deposits?
I remember the original thing when California legalized, I think, in 99. Somebody says, we will take you off of Swift, California. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And California fell in line after that. They didn't fight that issue. So that's still where we're at. We got to take, somebody said, you can't expect politicians to give you shit. You got to take everything. Just like these crazy people keep banging the thing about abortion or this or that. You know, we got to do some shit. Maybe it's time. Today I was thinking, you know, I would swear to a riot today. I'd be early. I would. Just the way I feel. You understand that feeling?
I do.
Where's the riot, boys? Okay, I'll bring sandwiches.
you're down there. I think of you often. And, you know, just go out and do something that, you know, do something I would do in warm weather in South, you know, 2 mile hike, canoe ride, you know, paddle through. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe just go and check out the Everglades before they frack them, for Christ's sakes.
The last time I went to the Everglades, I came on the business end of at least an 8-foot gator. And now I've heard that everybody's been dumping their random ass exotic snake down there for the last 30 days. Nah, but 30 years? Nah, buddy, I'm good.
The snakes have taken down the raccoon and possum populations in Florida by like 96%. It's pathetic.
And the deer.
Yeah, and
they're moving up the food chain.
Yeah, those little key deer. Yeah. Yeah. Jerry,
we're at the point where we're calling the Indian guys going, can you help us with our snakes? I'm like, the Indian guys, what snake chain we're calling? Jesus Christ. Nothing against those guys, but, you know, you would hope we would have done better, but no. And these guys come out with 100 snakes.
And what? A couple of thousand more people move to Florida every day?
Yeah, there's our government kind of functions here, Bob. There's kind of schools, there's bandwidth, there's food safety, there's jobs left, right. I've seen women working construction here. Women. Lots of them. Can't get enough construction workers. Why the hell not?
People want to work.
We got two trains. We have three train lines, multiple interstates, three airports. We start crazes. We end crazes, too. Or we just go crazy.
Yeah. How far are you from Fort Lauderdale?
I could ride a bike to Fort Lauderdale if I had nothing to do.
All right.
It would take me about 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes.
I have a mission and a favor to ask.
All right. Talk to me here. I'm going to Fort Lauderdale this week, so talk to me.
Okay. So there's a marina there called Bahia Mar.
Yeah.
And
on 84th Street.
And you have to go inside now because they had to take the plaque down from outside. But there's a plaque at Bahia Mar for slip F-18, which was the fictional.
F-18?
Yeah, which was the fictional. It's inside the building now, but it was the fictional home of a barge type boat called the Busted Flush, which was the home of Travis McGee.
Travis McGee.
The crime-solving guy created by John D. McDonald. I'm a big fan of the Travis McGee series. Get a selfie.
So it's a plaque.
It's just a plaque.
Okay.
And just to, you know, shoot a selfie with it and send it along. It'll do my heart good.
I will definitely do that. The other thing I have to tell you is I sat down and watched Deadwood. When I was sick, that's the show I locked on to. And I watched it because the writing is Shakespearean. But I said, I got to understand racism. And that helped, believe it or not. It was the craziest thing. I'm going, wow.
Okay. I got to put Deadwood on the list. Never watch it.
Yo, Bob, you never watched Deadwood?
Nope.
You're gonna be a broken man. Yeah, it's...
Wait a minute. Yeah, cowbell for the broken man. You're going to be a broken man.
Right. I can't believe you've watched. It is the perfect Western, and it just everybody. There's so much texture and so much. When you hear HBO canceled it, you're like, of course, this show is expensive as shit. It's shit because they go deep on everything. So I watched Deadwood to understand, just racism and I'm like, wow, we haven't. All of this makes sense now. Trump supporter kind of makes sense to me. And then I watched halfway through Boardwalk Empire to understand corruption. So after you've girded your mental loins with those two masterpieces, I saw this coming when fucking Manafort got 3.5 fucking years. So I was like, the fix is fucking it. I know it.
I've been afraid the dice were loaded for a very long time. You can't appoint a Republican to look to investigate another Republican. You just can't.
When was the last time that happened? I can't think of it in my lifetime. I really can't.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Ken Starr wasn't a Republican. No, hell no, he wasn't.
Ken Starr was a Democrat?
No, no, he wasn't a Democrat, no.
Yeah, yeah. Ken Starr was a super Republican. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He actually has an elephant tail, really, if you look close. Don't look close.
Don't take that. No, we'll take your word for it, Ken. Leave the pants on.
But as soon as I saw him, Bill Barr opened up, I was like, that name, that sounds familiar. And it was like, Boba fucking Fett. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
Even the language felt familiar. You read that, I was like, yeah, he said the same thing about, you know, the Iran-Contra. There was no coke in the hood before this thing started. Coke's too fucking expensive. You need networks. You need trust up the yin-yang. All of a sudden, people are throwing, hey, you want to sell a lot of crack? We'll give you credit. Sell it. That's actually what happened, Bob.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
And then it all sounds everywhere. And you have people showing you how to do it. This, da, 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 da. Now, this was that was a twofer. That was a twofer. That way you pumped up the criminal justice system, and you allowed George W. Bush to hold crack on the TV. This is, I got this on charge. Ah, you remember it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But all of a sudden, we weren't talking about the Iran-Contra thing anymore. And then, all right, and then we got to go kick Saddam's ass. Just like that. And then poof, it went away. I mean, nobody's answered the question about how three planes could fly above America for an hour and nobody know nothing. But, you know, we weren't allowed to ask questions about that either. Just, we're going to attack Iraq. Why? Because I said so. Why are we still in Afghanistan? Because heroin. Oh, okay.
Well, and again, heroin had almost disappeared from American streets before Bush war in Afghanistan, and it wasn't.
People would laugh at you and swear you were the police. They're like, I haven't heard of that since 1969. You know?
Oh no, the last we'd actually heard of heroin before the Afghanistan invasion was the stock traders who were smoking it. Yeah,
nobody
Chase.
Nobody knew nothing.
Yeah, but shortly after the Afghanistan war starts, Jerry, suddenly you're getting bricks of heroin showing up in the United States that actually have brand stamps on them from the individual warlords in Afghanistan.
This was our original conversation, Bob.
And it just
dropped 90%.
And it just happened to be flowing freely when the opioid crisis came along. And they turned off the opioid. They turned off the pills, so people went, "Oh, okay, I'll just run it up my arm." And then fentanyl.
That was retarded too. I don't understand why there wasn't any mitigation to those people. And the fucking Sacklers are a piece of shit. My God, I hope they're. I knew it came from somewhere. I remember the first time I saw an oxycodone. This was an interesting. This should be a movie. I'm at a rave club in Key West. In 1999. I got to tell you, Bob, I look back, I haven't had a bad life, man.
Well, I was at a rave club in Key West is a pretty good first line.
And it was weird. For the last 3 months, everything was about ecstasy pills. That's all anybody wanted to know about. Did anyone know about coke? They go, where's the X? Where's the X? Where's the X? Where's the X? And you know what? I saw some things. I saw the military, because Cuba is just a military port. The military, they got in the less fights when they went out and drink. That's when I started seeing military intelligence kind of hang around the club. It was weird. They weren't flight ready anymore. I remember hanging out with two female Navy gals, and one of the biggest joys of my life was hearing she got pregnant and was leaving the military. Yeah, she had done the ecstasy thing. But wait, there's more. So one weekend, this girl comes up, and she's fucked up. But I've never seen this level of fucked up before. And she's like, I got these. And I'm like, what the hell is that? She goes, it's an 80. I'm like, an 80? What is that? She goes, it's an Oxy. You never heard of it? I was like, no. And I felt bad because I'm working
You try to
bars,
keep up, yeah.
Less than, yeah. I'm like, what the hell is that? What's it? And she's, you know, she's beaten down. I'm like, ah, fuck that. I'm trying to go up, not down or sideways. Anyways, all all of a sudden, about 2 months later, the ecstasy thing is kind of slowing down. Everybody's on these oxys. I was like, huh, this is interesting. And the whole club changed and everything changed, and there were fights and stabbings, and the whole thing's in my memory. But...
Oh yeah, we saw it from a different perspective up here, because what would when Florida started opening the pain clinics, you literally had OxyContin carpools leaving West Virginia. One guy would drive, and everybody else would have their scripts, and they'd pay him with part of their script.
This was before pain clinic. This is when.
I know exactly the time you're talking about. Because I was seeing a bunch of, injured miners and timber workers and pipeliners getting put on the shit. It was prescribed liberally because it had been pitched, since it had a time release coating, as being not as addictive, because it just gave you a steady dose. And then, as one of my buddies, he lives in Florida now, by the way, described it, everybody figured out how to chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor.
Yeah, so you got an instant dose, and you were fucked up for 16 hours.
Oh, you were on. It would have been a sublime degree of effort to even bother to stare at your shoelaces.
Yeah, it would have taken everything you could have done, and it happened instantly. I bring this up because. You need a CBD vape. I went to the vape store today. Jewel's taking over. We're on a Jewel planet. And the reason why, I think Altria owns Jewel, or one of the cigarette companies owns Jewel. I know that.
Yeah.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
The reason they just paid out $1 billion in bonuses to their sales team, because they introduced Jewels to children.
Sure.
And kids kind of run the American economy, pretty much. Suddenly they were everywhere, all right? So, and then it turned to CBD and THC, and then it's, you know, Katie barred the door. That's the dominant, Jewel is the Xerox or the Kleenex or the Sony vaporizers now, which is what you need to do in the American ecosystem.
You've got to become just a name.
You got to become a noun or a verb.
Yeah, jeweling.
Proper noun, people. Yeah.
Got a jewel.
Become a verb. That's it. So it brought me back to, I used to sell pharmaceuticals professionally with companies and invoices and everything. So some of y'all in the back, be quiet. And it was a totally different thing if you had to mail out a control. All right. If you had to mail out a Vicodin, it was like you were trying to move Hitler's head. As it should be. You know, DEA forms, this, that, and the other thing. Somebody came with a box of oxys and sold them out of the back of the truck. And they were from the Statler family, whatever, the Sackler family. I'm fucking sure of it. She had 80s and 150s.
Well, it's like what happened here. You know, millions of hydrocodones dumped in a little town in southern West Virginia that didn't have 300 people in it. But they got millions of hydrocodones. Sort that one out. Yeah.
So, this is how we went. Space grid, flying cars and spaceships, everybody gets a job. We start cooling down the planet. We need 1 trillion trees. High-speed rail across the country. Yet again, everybody gets a job. Fucking gigabit internet. You're telling me a Scandinavian country has faster internet than us? We invented this shit. Now we got slow lanes? Fuck that shit, all right? And they all come together, decriminalize weed. Just three things, three simple fucking things. We do those things, we can have a complicated argument later.
That makes a surprising amount, not surprising, but a delightful amount of sense. It really does. Hey, Jerry, take care of yourself, man. Don't get sick again, okay?
You don't get sick, because that's, you know, I think the world will end when you go do the ACAC, because every time you leave the mic, man, some shit goes down. Every time.
Oh, don't think I don't know it. I'm already worrying. But this is 10-11 days. I mean, God only knows. And Agnes worries too.
I don't know.
She's like,
How's Agnes? How's she doing?
Okay. I mean, we'll go back and find out what they're thinking at the end of April. So you know.
How's she feeling?
Crummy. Crummy. It just kind of saps you. But
I'm putting positive energy your way for you and your whole family and the extended Horde family, because we got to stay healthy, man. Can't do shit if we don't stay healthy.
Yep, can't do anything on it. No, well, no, exactly. Jerry, take care, man. I'll be looking for that photo if you get up that way.
God bless. I got video to send anyway, but I'm good. I'm on that mission now. I got to go there anyway. There's a coffee shop I need a shirt from to get my daughter, who just turned 21, a shirt.
Cool.
That's the kind of stuff you do in a city.
In civilization, even. All right, Jerry, take care, man.
Simple. Fucking patient. All right, take care, bud.
All right, later. Bye now. The one and only Scary Jerry calling from South Florida. Let's keep it. Oh, so let me just mention this before we go to the next call. We got about 35 minutes left in the program. Just $40 to go to meet Chris's challenge. And that'll be a big jump forward. So $40 remaining, and hopefully we will meet that sooner rather than later. You know, just jump in there. $5 here, $5 there. Next thing you know, $40, and we're done. And Chris's challenge is met, okay? And let's see what Todd's got going on. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, man?
Hey, Jerry. Jerry was touching on wonderful issues there, you know?
Jerry makes my mind whirl.
When he was talking about, getting up, that's what we should be doing, working with Ra, the sun god, Ra. I mean, it's here for us if we just work with nature instead of against nature. You know, it's really simple, I guess. Maybe not, but then the prophets. But as Scott would say, that's not why I called.
Okay.
So the coup has taken place.
The election was coup one. This is coup two.
This is coup. This is coup two. Correct. This is. This is coup two. This is coup two. They have plans now. And you use the E word, another E word. They're emboldened.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when his campaign manager or his campaign communications asshole feels so froggy that he can write and tell everybody who they can and cannot have on their programs, oh, that's beautiful.
Like you said, fascism, I mean, this is, listen, they're putting the metal to the floor, the pedal to the floor on this fascism now. You saw that Kellyanne Crackhead, I mean, she was out there just talking shit today. So,
they've been doing their end zone dance for what, a day now?
Yeah. But the thing is, we may never know what that report really looks like. It'll be a while before we really know what it looks like. This is Barr's interpretation. He did exactly what he was hired to do, just as we thought most of us thought he would. I mean, how is it? But you see, this now we're really sifting out the wheat from the chaff, or chaff. Because Jonathan Turley, he's on my last nerve. I don't think you have to be an attorney to see that there was obstruction of justice. It doesn't, if you read the statute and you see what happened, he made the intent clear when he was talking to Lester Holt.
Well, right, that's the thing. The whole analysis, at least from Barr, is... I mean, it's get thrown out of 1L first year in law school bad. Mm. He couldn't possibly obstruct justice because there was no underlying crime for him to obstruct on. Bullshit.
That's a circular bullshit argument. I'm sorry, please, because you have a background in law, so please.
You're doing fine.
That right, and you see, and everybody's quiet, and I'm a little irritated with our press. our media. You know, what happened to critical thinking? This is ridiculous. And we could have seen this coming. The man wrote an unsolicited memo. Just put it out there in the ether.
No, that wasn't a memo. Well, that was a job application. What are you talking about?
Well, it was a job. But, well, this is the coup. These people have taken over. I just don't. Now, look, we have no choice but to impeach. Because it doesn't matter. These people are going to be pissed off either way.
Well, I mean, hold on. Because do we have to impeach?
I'm glad you asked that question. And I forgot to mention this last time we talked. I think it was Brother Deacon Asa that had that wonderful comment, that wonderful joke about anti-vacillator. And it's so contemporaneous because, you know, we're doing the vaccine thing. You know, we're talking about vaccines now. That was great. But so look, we have to be careful, but at the same time, we have to protect ourselves. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. But here's my misgiving.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got cover now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if by some miracle the portion of the report that talks about exonerating or not exonerating should become public, it doesn't matter. Because this, you know, perception is reality, and Barr understood that, Todd.
Yep.
Barr understood that if he put the first spin on it, that is what the multimillionaire for-profit media would cover.
They ran with it. There was no critical thinking. I don't understand what the fuck is wrong with these people. And honestly, the whole thing might have been a setup. I mentioned it one time, and I just kind of let it go because, you know. But if we look at Mueller's mandate, in other words, I guess I don't. The only term I know to use is mission statement. That's what I'm familiar with. You know, it's not a legal term, but it's what you set out to do. Why would he use collusion? That's not a legal term. Why would there be collusion in that? But that's on the front end, and that may be a little nebulous and all that. But
I'm gonna blow your mind.
Okay.
Or maybe not. What if the reason for all the no collusion, it's a witch hunt, no collusion? What if all of that horse shit was actually because he was being briefed by Rod Rosenstein the whole time?
I believe that. And see, today was the first day. I never knew. I don't know who said this. I don't know if it's true. That Rosenstein was on the plane on an Air Force One with the president at some point, and that's when he changed his tune. Like he toned down. And this is what it clicked with me, as we had suspected. You see, the president is in charge of all the. Anything he can be as devious as he wants to be because he just says I want materials in this person. You know, we weren't set up to have a nefarious mentally ill fascist as president. We really weren't. So he can use the apparatus of the FBI to his bidding, as some presidents have done, but maybe not so blatantly. So maybe he's got some dirt on Rosenstein. He's like, look, you know, you can press me all you want. Because Trump will do that. He doesn't give up. He's a nasty, evil person.
Okay, let me throw another one out there for your consideration. Because this one just dawned on me when I saw some of the press from Precious Lindsay. You know, Lindsay's going to finally get to the bottom of all of this dirty business from back during the Obama administration. No, really, he's gonna investigate the Obama administration and the Department of Justice and Hillary Clinton, and he's calling for a special prosecutor.
For that.
What if the what if Bill Barr gives him one? And what if wait.
You're already pissing me off is what I'm saying.
And what if the goal is to find something to charge Barack Obama with? Barack Obama's not a president. He's prosecutable. Trump ain't going to pardon him.
And Trump's foundation got shut down.
What if that's the game? What if that's the game now? Because, see, remember, behind all this, they've got to keep the maggots whipped into a frenzy. They've always got to have something to keep them stirred up over.
Well, you heard Trump. He's already intimated that. He said, oh, and now why aren't we looking at the other side? Now that I'm vindicated, we need to look at the other side. And man, they will slap that up. They will lick that up like blood. You know, oh, my God. We're in trouble. The jackals are in charge.
Well, one of the things that popped immediately to mind was, because it's always in the it always comes in handy, quote from Hunter S. Thompson, "The hogs are in the tunnel, and they will travel on a road of bones."
Hunter.
I mean, do you see that as somehow impossible?
No.
Don't you know maggots?
They can't help it. They can't help themselves.
Wouldn't the maggots love to chant "lock him up"? And how many of them would? And how many of them would use something else besides him?
Listen, because when they get him, or when they perceive they're getting him, they're going to get Hillary too. And remember, this is personal with this current mentally ill fascist president, because if we remember his affect, how he appeared during that press, the press comedy thing, the national press, where he was about to lose it when Barack Obama said, "Well, we don't have to worry about aliens or something," you know. That was the beginning. That was when Trump, you know, went on his little vendetta. That was it.
Well, they say that correspondence dinner was when he decided to run for president.
Well, right. You have to understand his mindset. If this Negro is standing up and making fun of me, I can't stand that shit. Oh, hell no. And see, Milam, he's always been racist. Trump is always, I don't give a fuck. Now, black folks are okay with a lot of white folks as long as you have money. You know, but you don't have any money and you have no stature, oh, get the fuck away from me. You know, it's that type of thing. So, yes. But you see, I'm concerned about our institutions now. This is really, really, what the fuck? This is bullshit.
I'm not concerned, Todd. I'm not concerned. You know why? Because it's irretrievable. It's unrecoverable.
Oh, God, man. No, you got to come better than that. Come on, Bob.
No, sorry. The Trump presidency, look, various presidents have changed the nature of the presidency. Think about Andrew Jackson. His inaugural was hosted on the White House lawn, and it turned into a drunken brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever dignity the presidency had developed was gone. And from there, you know, you get Franklin Pierce and James Buchanan, who didn't have enough nerve to, you know, Buchanan didn't have enough nerve. He was from Pennsylvania, but he didn't have enough nerve to stand up to the Southerners. Teddy
so
Roosevelt
wanted to go along with the motion.
Teddy Roosevelt changes the presidency into this muscular, hyper testosterone fueled butch institution.
Mm-hmm.
And some leave more of a mark than others do, Todd. But the presidency is forever diminished by Trump's behavior, but his will to power is a roadmap for whoever, whatever Republican comes next and really wants to crack the whip.
That's what I'm worried about. Well, a couple of things. And it may be, as you predicted, where this is the beginning of that dynasty. Because I can see that shit happening now. Because if there are no repercussions for his children, and they have all these connections now, and they're, I mean, this is bullshit. What the fuck? This is craziness. Like, in other words, all right, so now, you know what? Now I'm back to conspiracy, like person. Like, you know what? The power elite must want him in there. And this could be the whole fake out. He's like the populist, you know, on the face, prima facie, he's the populist. You know, sneak him in, because you know it's going to be a backlash against that Negro. So now's the time to sneak somebody in where we can really put the screws on to the working people worldwide. Because Trump is a fascist, and he identifies with
you. Think do you think Bill Barr would hesitate for a minute to indict Barack Obama for anything?
No, that fucker. Listen, he looks like the devil. Fuck him.
And by the way, by the way, the way that Trump responded to the initial news.
Go ahead.
He described it as a failed takedown.
Yep.
Now, I've argued time after time after time that his métier is not reality television. He was formed by professional wrestling. And so he uses a wrestling term to describe the present circumstance.
This is the fucking president. This is not Todd talking on the phone, talking motherfucker this and motherfucker that, off the clock. I don't talk like this at work. I don't give a fuck. He talks like that from the fucking presidency.
Yeah.
Our shit is fucking, man, we got to work. This is like, look. This is it. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I do.
That means they can do anything they want now. Now the Supreme, these jokers in the Supreme Court, they feel emboldened now. They're like, oh, well, shit. Nope. Trump's fine. Nope. You know, border wall, go for it. But like you said, now if there is a next real president, you know, now what? See, Congress has abrogated their, you know, their duty. But once again, this thing is so big, we don't even know how big this is. This is what is so bogus about this shit. We have a Russian spy in custody, confessed, working with the NRA. Via as a conduit, you know, as a vector to the RNC, booting it. So this just bullshit. This doesn't even. But you see, everybody just wants to. When I say everybody, common folks, just the rabble just wants to. You know, they want it to go away. So they made it go away. And they said Trump's okay. Just let him be president.
This is where you do that voice. Just give
on.
There we go. I was waiting.
You got to get him in the tank. Now I'm going to sit down there, and we're going to sit down there at the McDonald's, and we're drinking our coffee and everything,
watching the, that old Live Laugh CNN. And then and when you come on saying, there's no clues. And we done told all them color folk that not see. Now they standing around looking all stupid. All right, now, this is our country back. Now,
I wish that was, I wish that the, so did you
wish what, Bob?
Did you? I wish that wasn't as accurate as it is sounds.
It's fucking accurate, Bob.
Yeah, I know, I know. So, did you take in any Washington Journal today?
Oh, I wish now. I wish I was on Twitter with so I could deal with Steve, and that I know Steve was listening. I bet. It's interesting, man. It's interesting. We've had a couple of very interesting days on Washington. Now, I'm still waiting for the social scientists. Now, Book TV, they had Bandy Lee on. I don't know. It's on there. But they really need to – these people just to believe that – see, Steve Scully was like, no, we don't lean left, you fucking idiot. I'm telling you, all the C-SPAN moderators, they have to have a bar. Either you are drunk or you're fucking in rehab. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's fucked up.
Are the C-SPAN mods all on, like, heavy mood stabilizers?
We must be on heavy mood stabilizers. I mean, now Jesse on the weekend. Jesse, I think he works for AT maybe. He does a very good job of staying steady because he always gets. Even Greta. I mean, look, Greta. There's. I mean, a black. Audibly, the woman sounded like she was black to me, but that doesn't mean anything because I can sound like anything I want. So, audibly, she sounded black, and she was saying, "Well, Greta, you're a Republican," which I doubt. I think Greta's more Democrat, but maybe it's centrist. But that's not the point. You have to nod. You have to just acknowledge that you're listening. In other words, it's called attending. Attending means you're listening and processing what someone is saying. You're attending. Now you can go to class, but that doesn't mean you're attending. You're fucking drunk ass can sit in a class, but that doesn't mean you're attending. It means you're fucking drunk ass sitting in that room. I'm sorry. You already know that. I'm just. You know what I mean, right?
I do. I do.
All right.
All too well.
Shut up.
Yeah, you got a big laugh out of Steve from Georgia Stan with your C-SPAN mods line.
This shit is frightening sometimes. It's really, it's like, it's an addiction, man. This shit is too real. But Steve was like, no, we're not. That's what I'm saying. They have to have a social scientist to understand that the person that you idolize consistently engages in negative and antisocial behaviors, and that's why the press, because most of the press is true, is against what will be deemed negative press against Trump because he engages in those, he and his administration engages in negative behavior. You know, locking children up in cages. You know,
oh, wait, hey, time out. Earther just checked in. I heard some C-SPAN Washington Journal gems this morning at work. What happened to Trump is like what happened to Jesus under Pontius Pilate.
Man,
I just couldn't.
Jesus Christ done anointed that man, and Donald Trump done set him the head. That was in the Hill. There was a question. Listen, this shit is a fucking movement, and now Netanyahu's got his little rotten fucking ass over here, and he's going. He's fucking indicted.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You noticed that?
Yeah, because today with him there, we formalized the Golan Heights thing. I saw a comparative map the other day of all the little Palestinian Syrian villages that used to be in the Golan Heights.
Right.
Yeah, they're gone. Golan Heights have been ethnically cleansed.
See, you won't see that on our news. You have to watch. Now I understand that Qatar, or I think it's Qatar, owns. Now I can't. Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera, yeah.
Right, right. But and I mean, I understand every news on, you know, everyone's funded by someone. But you know what? They're the only ones who will show you that live. They put those folks in danger. They're reporters. You can see live them taking live fire in Gaza, and you see how bad it is. You know, they're basically just waiting for those folks to die off. They can just take that. That's some nice beach land. Trump probably wants to build a fucking hotel there. You know, we're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. We're in big fucking trouble. This has been a coup. This asshole has the fascist.
Right, so that's why I said, do we have to impeach him? Because what's, you know, I'm not saying there's not anything there. What do you impeach on, the emoluments clause?
Well, yeah. No. Listen. The emoluments plus obstruction of justice. Fuck Mueller. He didn't find it, but someone else can find it. He's not the only lawyer on the face of the earth. And this was my proposal, is that I understand you made a very good argument about there's limited time, and it's even less now, man. We all know they don't have, like, a five-day work week. They have a very truncated work week. But it's going to take 12-hour days, and they can do a lot behind the scenes and get the paperwork together and coalesce the votes so that when the procedural part comes up, it's a breeze. But there must be some taint. There must be some taint. We cannot let this fascist, mentally ill fascist dictator, who we've been warned about. We were warned. You know, this is just, I mean, I don't know what is, I mean, this fucker now, anything goes now. He's in, and what? He's doing some big rails to Adderall tonight. He's going to be jacked the fuck up.
Oh, he's going to be a tweeting monster tomorrow, you know, about 4 o'clock in the morning when he gets up to go to the potty. Yeah, I'm going to try to get one more call in, man. Todd, thanks a bunch.
Talk to you later.
All right, later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. And, yeah, right back to the phones in a second. Okay, 9 minutes to go in the program. Still got $40 to go to finish Chris's challenge. Please, can we finish Chris's challenge? That's all. Yeah. I understand. But I got a note from Labor Man. Time to forget about Scrump. It's done and over, just like many of us predicted. It was a total waste of time and will not reap any political benefit to even mention his name. Pelosi needs to call off the dogs, Nadler and Schiff and so forth, and focus on passing bill after bill that helps the American people and ship them over to Mitch to keep blocking and run in 2020 on the repuke's only interest in corporate and rich peeps' tax cuts. The Dems will lose the House, lose more Senate seats, and reelect Scrump if they keep focused on crawling up his ass. The repukes will kill us for being crying, hateful, do-nothing crazies. Just let the Southern District of New York take it from here and see what happens, which will be another big bag of caca. Maybe the state of New York will bag Scrump after he's no longer liar-in-chief. So old Nancy needs to pass a department or agency budget every week and send it to the Senate. There's validity in what Labor Man says. Let's present, like what Jerry was talking about. Let's present some dreams instead of complaints. I mean, impeachment would be fun. It'd be a hoot. But these bastards have the bit in their teeth now, and they'll overreach. He's not liked. But he's got 40% or whatever, and he's only got to get 10 more. We got a hell of a lot more building to do than that. Now, let's go back in and hopefully in these waning minutes, you know, we'll knock down that $40. Chris's challenge will be met, and in the interim, we'll chat with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Jesus.
No, Bob.
No. Hey, Bob, comma, Jesus. Okay, I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. Well, I don't know. What is to be said in the waning moments? Let me quote my post on Facebook yesterday in the wake of, after I woke up, had my first cup of cheap coffee and saw what the latest development was, here's what I said. With the Barr Declaration, that's what we need to call it, the Barr Declaration, now in the wild, like a bad computer virus, okay, Trump and his supporters, defenders, deniers, underwriters, allies, apologists, and fans will kick their game, and it is a game, into overdrive. If you think the lies and corruption have been fast and furious up to now, strap yourselves in for an incredibly bumpy ride, folks. The Trump bombast, bluster, and bullshit machine will be going full tilt boogie from now on, cranked up to 11, in fact. They've been given the proverbial inch, and they fully intend to take the mile or more. You've been warned. Does that kind of sum it up pretty
well?
That's
the damn truth.
There you go. All right. Now, I sent you...
I mean, look, I don't spend a lot of time on this program going, Scott, I'm scared. But these fuckers are scary now.
You think?
Yeah.
That was my post wake up Sunday observation. Today when I woke up, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed for a moment just to remind myself that there's now another day to dance with, okay? And the first thing that popped into my head was, let's go back to September 1960. I was 6 years old. It was my second day of school. I'm on the city bus that the school contracted with. Come on, Chirp. To take our little selves to the St. Mary's School in Alexandria. The first day, my mom gave me a ride. Second day, 10 cents on the bus, which I did for many, many years after that, every day, coming and going. So I'm sitting there anticipating what the second day of school might be like, and I look up along the ceiling on the bus. They have advertisements for beer and deodorant and cigarettes, and when they can't sell a space, they put in a public service ad. And my eyes landed upon the visage of Nikita Khrushchev, who at the time was the head of the Soviet Union, looking off to the right, mouth open, eyes narrow, looking angry, mean, and scary, with his forefinger pointing to the headline, "We will bury you." And the ad goes on to say, "Will the communists bury us?" "Never," you answer. "But what do you, are you sure? You know, what are you doing to oppose communism?" Blah, blah, blah. And the ad was for Radio Free Europe. And the thought that came to me this morning was that picture of Khrushchev declaring, "We will bury you," that emblazoned itself into the head of a six-year-old child in 1960. And what I thought this afternoon waking up was, what if they already have buried us? And they did it without firing a shot. What if the entire purpose of the demented circus peanut, a.k.a. Trump, was to put the coup de grace, the final knife into the heart of this republic? Can you think of a better way to do it than to have elected...
Look at the goddamn anti-vaxxers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it scared me, Bob. When that thought came into my head, just waking up, I said, Jesus. Can I be even close to correct in this? They say that if you have dreams, and I'm a big believer in dreams, the universe will send you helpful messages via your dreams. But I've never heard anybody talk about your first thought upon waking each morning or afternoon. perhaps there's something informative and instructive in our first thought sitting on the edge of the bed before we stand up and go about our day. And that's what came to mind. Nikita looking angry, pointing, and declaring, "We will bury you." And yeah, I know Russia is not under communist rule. Well, no. It's now, for all intents and purposes, not capitalist, but what is the other form of running something where a few people have all the money and everyone? Oligarchy.
Oligarchy, sure.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, as the day has unfolded thus far, and then add to it the conversation that you've been having on the Horn program today, I don't know what other conclusion to draw other than what if they already have buried us. And they're not burying us in anything other than bullshit that's orchestrated and intended to overwhelm us in terms of media to such an extent.
Well, let me see if I can pull this together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I can't figure out what the hell's going on other than it's already been done.
Yeah, they're not communist Soviet Union anymore. They're a mobocracy. Okay.
That'll
it's
work.
The Russian government is a criminal enterprise. And the crook in the mob boss in chief is Big Bad Vladdy Daddy.
All
but
right.
What's interesting is that their attitude toward us in the communist era and in this era is roughly equivalent because, of course, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is an old KGB spook.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
All right. So with that in mind, what's interesting is that their attitude toward us has not changed. That they have got to check American influence, power, success, whatever. And we got problems enough of our own.
Yeah, and don't forget existence.
Well, yeah.
They don't want us, on an existential basis, they don't want us to be.
Well, no, they just don't... I don't think they're murderous, but they want us in a state of chaos. That's why some of their little trolls and bots pushed anti-vaxxing. That's why, and that's why they fostered the division between the Bernies and the Hillaries. There were Russians posting pro-Hillary shit, Russians posting pro-Bernie shit, Russians posting pro-Trump shit. As long as, and they wanted Trump to win, but their goal is to sow chaos because that is a means of weakening the United States. You know, this is still the same Russia that doesn't have a fucking warm water port. Okay?
That'll change.
That has to, you know, their only exodus from, their only exit from Russia in way of warm weather or warm water is through the Bosporus and the Golden Horn. And they want to be more than they are. And they don't have much in the way of they don't have much, you know, their economy is shaky. It's a mono economy that's largely based on gas and oil. And in order to maintain power, that oligarchy has to maintain a tight grip on its populace. And the only way you can, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy's trying to make Russia great again. And the only way they can do that is not by lifting themselves up, but by trying to sow enough chaos to break others down. And yeah, he is an old spook, Scott, and so he doesn't necessarily want the communist ideology, but he wants the old Soviet map.
Yeah.
And
see, here's the other thing, Bob. What we've described thus far is not the most scary part. Because then you have to ask, who are we, the U.S. of A., in this story? And I look at the our Democrats scrambling around, bumping into one another, not coalescing, not agreeing on much of anything that can translate into a workable plan. We're fucking Deputy Barney Fife fumbling and stumbling, you know, talking in that high-pitched Don Knotts voice with his bullet in his breast pocket so he don't shoot his foot off. And I don't mean to speak ill of my party, but, you know, just in the wake since Friday, since the report was delivered to Barr, and then the speculation Saturday, and then the Barr declaration on Sunday, and whatever has transpired today, Monday, if we're not Barney Fife, we're his cousin, you know? And that's part of the plan, you know, the operating, the marching orders by Putin is, and we saw it in 2016, use disinformation to sow division and confusion so that, you know, enough people will be duped into electing this idiot who's not wired very well to start with, who we probably should know, if we don't by now, doesn't do well under pressure. As I understand it, the United States presidency is one of the most pressure-filled jobs a man or woman can hold. And plus, we...
Well, it depends on if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Democrats tend to take it seriously. It makes them really old before their time. And Republicans leave office with black, greasy hair.
Yeah. So it's like, if this isn't a wake-up call for our side, then we may as well just roll over and catch a couple more Z's. Because last night I happened, and you all say, well, how do you find the time to watch stuff? Well, I do. Don't ask me how, I just do. Last night, I'm watching a more than two-hour talk that a gentleman by the name of Alexander Butterfield, whose name ought to ring a faint bell,
ding,
who in July of 73, appeared before the Senate Watergate panel. And remember Sam Ervin with his dancing eyebrows? And who actually was injected into the lineup of witnesses because somebody found out, investigators on the Senate Watergate panel, the staff, found out that Alexander Butterfield knew what was going on regarding Nixon's recording system in the Oval Office and the old executive office building. So they bumped him in line to come in the following Tuesday or Monday to be asked the question by Thompson, the minority counsel, you know, Mr. Butterfield, were you aware of recording and listening devices in the Oval Office? And thereupon, the gates swung open, and we had a way out a year or so later when the tapes finally, by decree of the Supreme Court, were released. We found out that the cover-up extended to 5 days after the break-in in June of 72, and Nixon waved goodbye and jetted out to San Clemency. Okay?
Yeah.
Mechanism doesn't exist today, Bob.
Exactly. The Supreme Court wouldn't do that today. There's not the bipartisanship necessary to send Barry Goldwater to the White House to say the jig's up.
The representative from Arizona, whose name John Rose, I believe it was. Yeah.
And
Nixon down.
I heard him. I heard him go all over this morning over on My Filthy Little Habit. I couldn't take much of it today, but
I don't doubt it.
But I'll tell you, I was there long. I was on. I tuned it in long enough to have another one of those moments like what I was talking about with Todd, where I'm like, somebody's listening to this fucking show. Because I think it was in one of our conversations, and we got to wrap up here, but
I
think it was in one of our conversations when I was kind of, you know, good-naturedly arguing with you, and I said, but Scott, as crazy and nutty and sick as it is to say, Nixon left because Nixon had some shame.
No way there's that, yeah.
And lo and behold, there it was this morning. Yeah, well, but Nixon had shame. And whoever it was, the whole table turned, turned to the guy and went, well, that's a sad commentary or something like that. And I was like, shit, I say it here, it comes out there. It's that line from Albert Brooks in Broadcast News.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, Bob, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll have another immediate after sleep post sleep insight, and I'm almost afraid to go to bed tonight because the universe is sending me insights, or they're coming to me, or something is coming together, and I'm beginning to see. I'm almost at the point where I'm ready to grab my Bic lighter and set ablaze my low-numbered membership card in the Relentless Optimist Club. Because this is real. It's now become real. Any hope that we might have hung on the Mueller investigation or the Attorney General doing his fucking job, all that went out the window starting Friday. And I don't dance well to that particular tune. When all hope goes out the window, how can you dance? I mean, it's almost impossible to dance with it. I look for ways out. I look for things working. I look for solutions and answers and silver linings in dark clouds, okay? And one that I'm still hanging on to for all I'm worth, is maybe there will be some way come 2020 where we will finally get it together to the point that for the next 20 years, the Republicans will be denied access to levers of control and power in the House, in the Senate, and in the presidency for 20 years. Now, that may not be enough time to undo the mess since the days of Reagan, but it might offer opportunity for a good start. So if that's not job one, to everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice, that leading up to 2020 and in November of 2020, that we make it possible and create this new scenario that from January of 2021 for the next 20 years, no GOP control of the House, of the Senate, of the presidency. If that's not job one, then, as I usually say at this point, we're all screwed, Bob.
Ding.
So there you go.
Precisely.
And so I'm angry. On your Facebook, I posted me in the late 70s, skinny, still smoking, wearing a T-shirt that said, "I used to be disgusted. Now I'm just amused." I need a new T-shirt, Bob, because I was disgusted, then I was amused, now I'm disgusted again, and angry, and scared. And I don't know how to channel it. I don't know how to focus it. I don't know how to dance with it or work with it. And if nothing else, it highlights the importance of these 3 hours of conversation 5 days a week. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to chime in today and let you know where I was coming from, and now you know. So there.
Oh, I appreciate it, Scott. You have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Well, you know, how? I don't have any vodka in the house, Bob.
You, the cat, ball of yarn, I got nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got Netflix. Maybe that'll help.
You can find another wildly depressing documentary to watch. Jesus, Scott. Find a comedy.
I don't want escape at this point. I don't want diversion. I want to whatever I want, it's not this, okay? Maybe that'll be a way to operate from, a jumping off point. Whatever I want, I know it's not this. And then move forward from there. I don't know, Bob. I'm very often at a loss, you know, for what to do next. And I'm at that point. I can't focus. I don't know how to channel it.
I know,
Bob.
I want
my blankie. I want my mommy. I want Aunt Emma. You know, back when, in the time when all was well.
I want Mr. Lincoln. Okay.
Well, yeah.
I get it. Scott, do your best.
Otherwise, everything is just peachy, Bob.
Whatever thy hand findest for thee to do, do thy doggondest. There. William Powell, Father Wore Tights.
All right, Bob. Take care, man.
All right.
And keep up the good fight.
Trying, man. Trying. Later.
See ya.
Bye. And so we're done. And I have thanks to extend to Roberto and to Karen and to Laborman. Chris's challenge has been met. So that is just plain awesome. Thank you all very kindly for the time you spend in the program. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve this evening in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.